Good evening, everybody. We are live here at the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, live from the Taste of Des Plaines, presented by Allstate Chicago's own Good Hands. It's a download live here. Yeah, there we go. I didn't even have to have anybody who... We didn't even go over this. And there's already applause. We're here till 11 o'clock tonight. I'm Justin Kaufman here on 720 WGN Radio. Such a great night here at the Taste of Des Plaines, right along the Metro Tracks here in downtown Des Plaines. What a lovely, lovely night. Pete Zimmerman is here as well. Give it up for Pete Zimmerman, everybody. We got a great show tonight. We're going to do our show live from here, and it's really Des Plaines-centric. We're going to talk with the mayor of Des Plaines. Is going to stop by in a couple minutes, which is going to be great. Your mayor. Who's all from Des Plaines here? All right, there we go. That's about 20%. Mayor Bogus, though, is 29 years old. How about that for your mayor? You like that, right? I like it, too, because he was born the same year as Hands Across America. So that's kind of great. I wonder if that had anything to do with it. We'll find out. We'll find out from the mayor. The mayor will be here. Also, we're going to talk with Colonel Jill Morgenthaler. She's a regular on the download, and she is a retired colonel in the Army. She wrote the book, The Courage to Take Command, Leadership Lessons from a Military Trailblazer. She ran for Congress. She also was part of the Homeland Security team here in the state of Illinois. We'll talk with Colonel Morgenthaler coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Also, we just heard him. You could kind of hear him in the background, but the D-62s are going to perform live on the show. Adam's going to set them up over here, and they're going to perform live. This, of course, all teachers and administrators from the District 62 school district here. That's great. I've done nothing with my life. They're teachers and they can play the trumpet. What have I done? Nothing. And so much more. You know what we're going to do? We're going to send Pete over to these games. The Taste of Des Plaines is a lot like a street festival, a great Chicago street festival. You got vendors, you got restaurants, you got live music, but you also got the games. And before the broadcast began, we went over there. Pete put about $30 in to shoot the basketball four times.
Yes.
And he'd missed.
Every time.
And so we are ready, and we are excited, and we will spare no expense of Pete's money.
I am not leaving here without a Rasta banana. I guarantee you I am leaving with a Rasta banana. Get the seatbelt ready for the ride home.
So get ready. We're going to win that Rasta banana, and we're going to bring it home for you, the 720 WGN listener. How about that? We'll hand it to you specifically. News, weather, and traffic with Rob Martier back in the shop. Also, production provided by Adam Phillips and Pete Zimmerman. I'm Justin Kaufman, and this here is the download live from the Taste of Des Plaines. I know. Thank you for that. All right, we're going to do the carryout. Why don't we do the carryout, which is really, it's our nightly segment on the show where I read the newspaper, so you don't have to. All right, here are today's top stories. A number of GOP delegates are allegedly making a plan to stop Donald Trump from getting the nomination in Cleveland at the GOP convention. I've never seen anything like this. Usually the only organizing that goes on around a political convention has to do with their golf schedule. It's a party. Have you ever been to a political convention, Pete?
Not.
You have not?
Nope.
I've covered a couple of these. Really, the only organizing they do is whether or not they should wear the khakis and the blazer, or if they should take the blazer off, or if they should wear a red tie or a more red tie. There's not a lot of decisions that need to be made by delegates at a GOP convention. It's a party. The idea that they're trying to stop the person from getting the nomination is pretty absurd. Okay, another story. Hey, you can hear the train coming through here. Yeah, nice. They know we must be doing a broadcast. No horn.
Right.
Way to go. Someone must have called Metra. The hacker group Anonymous has a new target, ISIS. Did you guys see this story? They've been hacking the terror group's Twitter accounts with rainbows and pro-gay statements. That's right. They've been replacing their pictures and putting rainbows in based on what happened in Orlando, which I guess that'll show them. They're going to mess with a terrorist's social media. So embarrassed, Ahmed. That's not really my profile picture. I'm sorry. I did not really think about the rainbow. They must be so embarrassed. A new self-driving robot Rolls Royce has been unveiled. The self-driving automated luxury vehicle will undoubtedly be the newest toy for the super rich, replacing the helicopter on the yacht, which I think those don't work. I think they're for show. But leave it to rich guys to find a way to eliminate one job. The driver's got one job, and now the automated Rolls Royce removes that job. You can't, it's, who's going to open the door? The robot's going to get out of the car? Sir, let me get you to your car. It's ridiculous. One day. And they're usually older guys, right? That's, I don't understand that move. I mean, isn't a regular Rolls Royce pretentious enough? Do you really need to have an automatic self-driving Rolls Royce? What happens with the Grey Poupon, right? Do you have any Grey Poupon? We do not have Grey Poupon. That's my robot voice. You guys get to see it in person. Do you like it? No, yeah, you love it. What a nice day, huh? Kind of a perfect day. 2 degrees too hot. 2 degrees too hot. Just a little too hot. A little too hot. In sports, the Cubs did what they did best. They beat the Pirates today. It's pretty amazing how much they've got the Bucks number. The Cubs are 6-1 against 6-1 against the Pirates, and that one loss, the Pirates probably cheated. Right? I don't remember it, but they probably cheated. The Cubs have a 12.5 game lead over the Pirates. Wow. The White Sox, any White Sox fans? All right, they got a big series this weekend with the Indians. They got a chance
way
to continue.
To gloss over that nobody
caught. Nobody can just drive right into it. Keep going. You got to keep going. They get a chance to get some momentum and pick right back up and get a. They sweep the Indians. They're right back at the top. If they get swept by the Indians, they're not looking good. So this is kind of a really big series for the White Sox in June. Speaking of pressure, the Cavaliers and LeBron James stood up to it yesterday and annihilated the defending champs, Game 6. So Game 7 this Sunday in Oakland. Steph Curry will not face suspension for throwing his mouth guard last night after he fouled out. You saw that? Keep it together, man. You're the MVP. Why are you throwing your mouth? What are you doing? Grow up. Right, exactly. His wife went to Twitter and she tweeted out that she said that the NBA was rigging the NBA Finals. Is there any way to suspend her? Can she get a one gamer for Game 7? Be nice. Can you suspend somebody from Twitter? I think you can. The Bears skipped the first final day of minicamp. Did you guys see this story? Coach John Fox apparently doesn't need the practice for his team, so they just skipped the minicamp today, which is probably good, but I don't know why make such a big deal out of Alshon Jeffrey not being available for voluntary workouts. When he shows up, you're like, oh, we don't need a workout. It's all good. Like, what was the point? What was the big hubbub for the last 3 months? He showed up. Then you don't practice. Like I said yesterday, I'm going to back pocket this day. When the Bears start 2-6, I'll be like, might have needed that one more mini camp. All right. And finally tonight, Justin Bieber. Did you see this story? Justin Bieber apparently fell off the stage at a recent concert. No. It's tough to see him fall off the stage. But you know what's tougher? Seeing him climb back on. Oh, that's the carry out. There you go for June 17, 2016. Live from the Taste of Des Plaines. Woo! Coming up, we're going to talk with the Allstate agent here. We're also going to talk with the mayor and Colonel Jill Morgenthaler. It's a download live at the Taste of Des Plaines. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here, live at the Taste of Des Plaines, presented by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands, and presented by our Allstate agent, Meryl Smith, who is here. She's a part of Des Plaines, and she's the reason that we're out here. So everybody, give a round of applause for Meryl Smith, everybody. Hi, Meryl. Nice to meet you.
Hi, how are you?
Here we go. Let me do this on there. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
All right, we got you. Okay, there we go.
Hi, how are
you
tonight?
There you go, there we go. I'm good. So good. Your office is just a block away from here.
It's a block, yeah, block south.
Okay, so talk about what it means for you to be to present WGN here, but also to be a part of this great community of Des Plaines.
I'm very invested in helping families of Des Plaines and supporting the surrounding areas and its residents to grow and to prosper.
Okay. That's good. That's good. I like that. That's good. That's good. I think everybody agrees that that's a good thing. So talk about what's unique about this community, representing this community. You've been represented for 12 years?
Yes.
So talk about what's unique about covering Des Plaines, being an insurance agent here in town.
Most of the folks that live in town, it's like a small town. Everybody knows everybody, and they all have each other's back. It's a wonderful place to live. It really is.
What's the best part about your office, which is a block away here?
It's close to the library. That's the best.
Well, let's talk about what do you specialize in? I know that, like, for instance, I'm somebody who is, here's a good question. I've had this issue where I'm trying to figure out life insurance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if I should just get it through my work, if I should get it through a third-party advisor. What should I do with life insurance? Because I actually don't think that I'm covered.
Well, life insurance is really important. If you talk to Middle America, they realize that if something would happen to the breadwinner of their family, they, after a few months, would not be able to make their bills or their
right.
mortgage. You need to have a policy separate from where you are employed.
You do?
Yes.
Oh, jeez. Great.
I can take care of that for you, though.
You can't. Thanks, Meryl. Well, I mean, that's something that I guess a misnomer, a misconception, because I've always thought that if I just went through my work, that would be enough, or I just wasn't thinking about it at all.
In today's society, people usually have five careers till they retire, and as you get older, you could actually get something that you would be uninsurable, so the sooner that you get life insurance on your own, the less it'll cost, obviously,
right.
but you'll be able to be insured. So it's something that really shouldn't wait. And you should also think about your retirement. You know, we don't know what's going to happen, and we need to have our own policies and our own investments, and that's something that I can do for you, too.
So if I were, say, the mayor of Des Plaines and I was 28 years old, that'd mm-hmm. be the right time to get life insurance.
You can get life insurance up to all ages.
Yeah.
We have very many different policies that cover all age groups.
Now, Meryl, you do much more than just work for Allstate and the insurance agency. You do something where you've been a part of Assistance in Healthcare, which is an organization that's dear to your heart. Talk about it.
Yeah, Assistance in Healthcare. We support patients that have been financially impacted because they have found out that they have a disease and they're not able to, because of their illness, pay their bills. So they apply to us, and we literally pay for food, for their mortgages, for their electric.
Wow, yeah.
So we review a lot of people. We review about 300 cases a month, and we give out $70,000 to $80,000 a month to support these people that
you
are terminally ill.
You reviewed 300 cases a month.
Yes.
So this is not something that's just an anomaly that happens once in a blue moon. This is something that's happening that we're not talking about.
That's it exactly. People, unfortunately, have to make a decision when their money is running out. Do they pay for medicine or do they pay for food to feed their families? And more often than not, they're not getting the medicine to try to cure their diseases. So that's where we step in to help them.
That's something that, I mean, it's noble, that, and that's, how do you actually, how do people apply for that? I mean, how do they do that? How do you find, when you say review 300 cases, where do they come from?
We work with Cancer Treatment Centers of America in Zion, Midwestern, and there is people in the hospital that, when they find out that they're having trouble with their bills and stuff, they give them the applications, and then they direct them to us, and then we help them if possible.
Okay, so let's work to your right here. Joining us now is the Vice President of the Assistance in Healthcare Board, Carrie Raymond. Carrie, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
And this is a big moment. Mm-hmm. We want to actually provide Assistance in Healthcare with something. I don't want to give it away, I guess. I don't know how this works, but I feel like I could be more of a game show host. We got something for you.
Well, I'm honored to present a $1,000 check to Assistance in Healthcare on behalf of the Allstate Foundation and my agency to further the good work that this organization does every day.
All right.
Thank you so much.
How about that, huh?
Thank you.
We don't have the oversized check. There's no oversized check. Do we? Oh, there it is!
Woo! There it is.
I was just joking, but hey, how about it? There's an oversized check. Look at this. All right. That's what we need. It's an oversized check.
All right.
Congratulations. There you go. Take a picture of that. No radio show is complete without an oversized check. Now, you can't take that through the drive-thru, but I think you can't take it into the teller.
It's actually a good check.
Oh, all right. So you can't fold it and put it in your back pocket either. Carrie Raymond is the Vice President of the Assistance in Healthcare Board of Directors. And Meryl Smith is an Allstate agent, and she's responsible for helping us, WGN, come out to be here at the Taste of Des Plaines. And thank you so much for doing that, and thanks for being a part of Des Plaines and being a part of this community.
Thank you so much.
All right, give it up. That's how you start a broadcast at the Taste of Des Plaines with a big check, right? All right, much more coming up. We're going to talk with the mayor right after the news. We are live at the Taste of Des Plaines here on 720 WGN. Stay with us. All right, we're back here at the Taste of Des Plaines. Meryl Smith is a proud owner of an Allstate insurance agency in Des Plaines. Meryl and her two adult children, Melissa and Larry, work together to help protect Allstate customers' assets and families from unforeseen tragedies by helping them be proactive rather than reactive with their insurance coverage. Meryl finds gratification in helping people protect what's important in their lives. As an Allstate agent, Meryl has won numerous awards, served on regional and corporate agent advisory boards, and has been highlighted as a premier agent for exceeding business expectations. But Meryl's primary focus has always been helping customers choose the best coverage at a competitive price. Meryl supports the nonprofit organization Assistance in Healthcare, founded to help patients and their families who become financially distressed as a result of their fight against cancer, and by defraying costs of non-medical expenses such as mortgage, utilities, and transportation. Meryl's a 17-year Allstate agency owner who began her agency from scratch in the Kenosha, Wisconsin community, and proudly serves Wisconsin and Illinois with multiple locations. Call today to schedule your consultation at 847-437-9966. All right. There we go. All right, we're live here at the Taste of Des Plaines here on 720 WGN Radio. Rob Martier, how are you, my man?
I'm doing well. Hello, Des Plaines.
There you go. No clap for Rob. Rob is supposed to come out here with us. And you can't give him an audience reaction from miles away.
Don't throw me under the pace bus like that.
And he knows this area. He lives right. He lives right around here.
About 10 minutes away.
10 minutes away.
I love Des Plaines. Love the Choo Choo restaurant. I love downtown Des Plaines. It's beautiful.
Right. So beautiful that you couldn't come out of your ivory tower down there at the Tribune Tower.
I didn't want to create a scene, as I said to you and Pete yesterday. I didn't want the mob and the hordes to gather around. It would have been unsafe.
Right now everyone is dispersing. There's a mad dash.
It sounds like you're having fun.
You said Martier was going to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we miss you, buddy. We miss you. Welcome back to the Taste of Des Plaines. Live here on 720 WGN, I'm Justin Kaufman, the download with you till 11 o'clock tonight. This is today's WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, presented from the Taste of Des Plaines, presented by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands. All right, so coming up at 8 o'clock, we're going to talk with retired Colonel Jill Morgenthaler, and also coming by to perform live. This is pretty great. The D62s.
Whoa.
You saw them on stage a little bit early. These are teachers and administrators from the 62nd, or I guess the 60 District 62 here. So we're going to have them do a little strip down.
62nd District, Justin.
62nd District?
62nd
District.
Oh, there
we go. I guess the mayor's got to correct me on how to say it. That's how it works. Our next guest is the mayor of Des Plaines, Matthew Bogish. Look at that.
Hi, Justin.
How you doing?
Thanks for having me.
Mayor Bogish has been in office since 2013. Before mayor, he was a Des Plaines alderman, 3rd Ward, which is nice to see that Des Plaines does alderman, not calling a councilman.
Yeah.
That's so
nobody likes
nobody
a councilman.
Nobody likes a councilman.
Nobody
Justin.
Likes a councilman.
Yeah. Mayor Bogus is 29 years old. He was born in 1986. Give you an idea. That's the year Crocodile Dundee came out.
Justin, what's Crocodile Dundee?
There was a 2 and a 3 as well. He's the youngest mayor in the city's history, and he's my guest tonight. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
And so, welcome to the Taste.
Thank you. Thank
you. Have you had any food yet tonight?
I had the pot roast sandwich over the Sunrise Grill. It was really good. I see a lot of people eating that tonight. Let's talk about how important is it to have a street festival like this, to have the Taste of Des Plaines, first off, because this is new for you.
You know, it isn't new to Des Plaines. This format is, though, because we have a bunch of local restaurants that are Des Plaines exclusives. So restaurants like American Wild Burger, Charcoal Delights, Evans Place, Sunrise Grill. You can't get these restaurants anywhere else than right here in Des Plaines. And, you know, we're proud of them.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the town, Des Plaines. I mean, obviously, would people know?
The city.
The city. There you go. See? Yeah. I love this guy. Well, let's talk about, because we, you know, Chicagoans and people who might be listening who aren't familiar with Des Plaines, they may know it to be a town that is right in the shadow of O'Hare Airport. It's borders Park Ridge, Arlington Heights on the other side. For you as the mayor of this town or this city, what is the future look like for Des Plaines?
Well, Justin, listen, we're guilty as charged for being right in the middle of everything. People who live and work in Des Plaines have access to an amazing region, whether you want to hop on a plane or hop on a Metro train right downtown. You might hear the Metro while we're on air here in the next few minutes. But Des Plaines is a place that brings people together. And what you see tonight is a community that certainly likes to hang out together, right?
He's playing to the crowd.
Yeah.
Like an experienced politician here. We expect more from a 29-year-old, right? That's something that you get from your 50-year-old politicians. Come on. All right, so let me ask you about... as I look at Des Plaines, and I've known Des Plaines, I've known this corridor as a Chicagoan who's taken the Northwest Line for years, there's been a lot of development. You see the condos and the buildings here, and you also see a move to a more modern downtown. What do you need to do to attract people to not only live here but to work in Des Plaines?
Listen, Justin, we are doing everything we can to move Des Plaines forward. And fix what was broken.
What was broken?
We're fixing some infrastructure. We are leaning in on economic development. We're bringing restaurants like the ones featured here tonight at the Taste of Des Plaines to Des Plaines, and we're keeping them here. You know, that's not a story, a retail story that a lot of our neighboring communities can tell. And guess what? On the Northwest side, whether you're a small business or a first-time home buyer, Des Plaines is by far the best bang for your buck. You get all the benefits of being on the Northwest side, all the access to the city, and you're paying half the taxes of your neighbor. So, you know, that's why I stayed here. Well, I grew up in Des Plaines, and I stayed here for that very reason. And I'm, you know, my family's here now. So that's really our selling point.
When I see, right next to us here, you got a 4-lease sign. And you said that's something that every single town and municipality and city, including Chicago and neighborhoods in Chicago, have to deal with. As the mayor... As the person that's been elected to move this city forward, as you just said, what are some of the tricks that you can do to get retail, to get stores downtown, to keep this place vibrant?
Justin, they're going to think we rehearsed this, really. I don't know. I think at the end of the day, we are putting our money where our mouth is. And if you're a retailer out in the region and you want to open a next location that's going to be a hell of a lot more successful than your last one, we are willing to put our money where our mouth is. And we're investing in small business. We're investing in local retail. We're filling our storefronts, and we're doing it quickly.
But how does a municipality do that for us who aren't so savvy in government? I mean, do you have to give tax breaks to get retailers in? How do you get retailers to choose Des Plaines?
For the past 4 or 5 years, we've been really controlling our costs. We haven't raised our property taxes in 4 years. We just got a brand new water source that's going to dramatically reduce the cost of living and doing business in Des Plaines. We're good partners, and we truly partner with local businesses when they're looking to locate in the region. I mean, we're not going to be shy about it. We are in consistent and fierce competition with our local neighbors, and we are going to win on the Northwest side.
Oh, shot across the bow, huh? Who do you dislike more, Arlington Heights or Park Ridge?
I love my neighbors in Arlington Heights and Park Ridge. My neighbors in Arlington Heights are actually partners with us on our water supply.
All right,
so we're
answer.
Able to save money for both residents in Arlington Heights and Des Plaines. We just flipped the switch, and we're going to be saving up to $10,000 a day. $10,000 a day that we will work towards paying back to local residents and businesses to reduce the cost of living and working here. So we're really doing right by residents.
Okay, so let's talk about your political career. You're 29 years old. Yep. You were an alderman before that. I mean, you started in Des Plaines working in government when you're 22 years old?
Yeah, I must be crazy, right?
Well, I mean, what was the attraction of working in local government for a 22-year-old kid?
Well, I was a before. It's funny. I'm sitting here on a radio show talking about the Taste of Des Plaines, and probably 5 years before I was elected alderman in the city of Des Plaines, I was actually a volunteer at this very event. So, I like to think that I'm still young enough and naive enough to think that some community service can make a difference. And if you live in a community, you should roll up your sleeves and give back to it. So, that's why I did it almost eight years ago. My wife is very. Consistently pointing out the gray hairs that I'm developing here on the side of my head. You're going to have to get close, but you could see them. You have a few more than me, Justin.
Yeah, well, I'm older than you. I'm normal-aged for this job. I'm 41 years old. Come on.
That's
29
that's,
years old. He's a mayor of Chicago, or Des Plaines, almost Chicago. But that's a question for later. Yeah. But No, hold on. I know. All right, so... I'm interested in, I mean, there's one thing about giving back to your community, and there's ways to do that, but to get into municipal government...
You got to be a little crazy.
What was it that attracted you to that being a career?
So I am a self-proclaimed geek, I'm a nerd, and I like problems that don't have obvious solutions. And if you look around any government, whether it be here in the city of Des Plaines or any government, there are more problems than you can figure out what to do with. So in that environment, it's exciting. It's a puzzle. You get to put the pieces together and figure out the right way to solve problems. And we're blessed because we have a great staff. A few of them are here tonight. A bunch of them are here tonight, excuse me. So we'll take a minute just to give them a round of applause. But we have a number of dedicated, hundreds of dedicated employees here in the city of Des Plaines and volunteers. Events mm-hmm. like this don't get pulled off without our volunteers.
Right.
And they help us in the trenches, solve problems every day.
Mayor Bogish, I'm interested in being a leader of a city like Des Plaines. As much of it is a small town feel. It is.
Whoa, 60,000 people.
60,000 people. No, but it's a small town feel. That's
okay.
A no disrespect,
okay,
man.
There you go.
But a small town
there
feel. It is a big city. That's where I'm going. 60,000 people. Do you find yourself as someone who's 29 years old? I mean, in the millennial generation, right?
Yep.
Do you have any troubles politically being able to communicate with other lawmakers and people who may be from different generations?
I'll tell you what, the first time I started knocking on doors, I was 21 years old and I was passing petitions for aldermen, and a lot of folks opening the door had a little less hair or some gray hair, and they looked at me and I told them what I was looking to do, and they said, thank God, somebody is getting involved in the local community. So I've actually had exactly the opposite reaction. I mean, people, old, young, they all want the same thing. They want a community that's going to be a solid value and that's going to be a place where they want to raise a family.
Do you have any sort of ideological roadblocks when you're a kid who's in his 20s who may look at the world differently, maybe through social media lens, through other things that other generations may not understand? Are you running into roadblocks when people are like, that's not how you do it?
Listen, even when I'm your age, I hope I'm still a kid. But you know, I think you gotta take each and every challenge in a productive, pragmatic, and smart way. And you know, I think regardless of age, people make good decisions, people make bad decisions, and I think we've been lucky in the last 4 years to have a hell of a lot more good decisions than bad decisions, and that's what people have responded to. And after that, you know, who cares how old you are?
Okay, so you've now been in Des Plaines government since you were 22, so we're talking 7 years. What's the one thing that you've learned about being a mayor, about being an alderman, about representing this community that you did not know before?
The thing I probably wish I would have known before is that no matter what you do, no matter how hard you work, no matter how much effort, blood, sweat, and tears you put into it, that there will be people who don't like it. So roll up those sleeves, man.
How do you deal with that? How do you deal with it when you've never had that before and you realize people don't like it? How did you react to it, and how have you overcome that?
You remind yourself that as alderman, 73% of my neighbors said, hey, give this kid a shot. And as mayor, 55% of my neighbors said, hey, give this guy a shot. And then you go for it. You do what's right, and you live with the rest.
Oh, there you go. All right. Your generation is sought after in political campaigns. They want young people. We just saw Bernie Sanders try to court a millennial generation. So many 20-somethings, they're not thinking about political office. They're not thinking about a political life. They're not thinking about voting. Mm-hmm. How do you assess that as someone who has had so much success in your 20s? In government, in work, and giving back community service, that your generation around most, and I don't want to stereotype, or generalize, they're just not as active as you are.
I think that for a lot of millennials, community service, when you think about community service, they don't necessarily start and think about government first. I'd say that when you look at research, what you'll find is that the millennial generation volunteer, give back, contribute more than almost any other generation alive today.
Really?
They're just doing it elsewhere. So I think it's important for folks like me to you know, wave a flag and say, hey, you can be both invested in your local community and give back and be in government. Those three things are not mutually exclusive.
Right. So what as you move forward and your term is up in May 2017, which is just around the corner.
Yep.
Are you seeking re-election? Are you thinking about other offices? I mean, does your political career start and stop in Des Plaines?
Listen, I was born and bred in Des Plaines, and as long as my wife will let me, I think I might just run again.
Oh. There you go, a little news on the down low, a little local news. Who needs DNA info when you got...
I told you, as long as my wife will let me.
She's up next.
There was a big caveat there.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's bring up his wife. No, she's not here. She's not here.
I didn't think she was.
The mayor of Des Plaines, Matthew Bogish, thank you so much for stopping by, and thanks for having us here at the Taste.
Thanks so much.
All right, more to come here on the Download Live from the Taste of Des Plaines. Stay with us. We're live at the Taste of Des Plaines here on 720 WGN Radio. It's a download. I'm Justin Kaufman here with you till 11 o'clock tonight. The WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, live from the Taste of Des Plaines, is presented by Allstate Chicago's own Good Hands. Wow, what a night. This is a beautiful night in Chicago. We couldn't ask for anything better. I mean, like I said a little bit earlier, like maybe a degree too hot. Maybe just a degree. But the wind's picking up. It's so nice. Pete Zimmerman is walking around the Taste.
Hey, Justin.
Des Plaines, how are you, buddy?
It's beautiful here.
So I had asked Pete to walk down and check out all the different places down here, the great shops and the great restaurants, and he's gravitated once again to the basketball.
Can't get enough of the basketball. I am confident that I'm going to leave here with some sort of prize.
So one of the things we set up at the beginning of the show is that Pete is not leaving here until he gets a Rasta banana or another stuffed animal of his choosing. And we're going to send him over there to the game. Is that okay? Let's see if he can win it.
All right, a lot of pressure.
All right, tell that guy he owes you one, too, because you've already put about $30 in his hands.
You guys are going to be there for a long time.
Hey, come on, Rob. Hello, sir. I'm back. It's me again. I would like to play a game. Let's see. It's $5 for two shots. So here, Justin, can you see me?
I can see it. I don't want to look.
All right,
I don't want to look.
Play by play.
All right, Pete Zimmerman. He pops up to the. There we go. Nice little form. Bend the knees. The shot. Not even close. Not even close. All right, he's going for number two. Here we go. And the shot. No, you can hear it. You can hear it. You know what that was? Did he get it?
It's really bad because it's a hard game because the rim is a little bit too small for the ball. Yeah. This is fixed. No, it's not. I really want a skateboard is actually what I'm trying to get.
What are the options to get here?
I have a Scooby-Doo. I have a Minion.
Okay.
I have an emoji poop.
Uh-huh.
I have...
Real hot with the kids right now.
Some sort of fuzz animal. Is this something? It's a gorilla. It's a gorilla. Rainbow-colored gorilla. It's very nice for a June Pride Month.
Okay.
Some sort of, I don't even know what these
So essentially,
are.
Pete, everything that's a little bit off-brand. Just a little bit off-brand. That's what makes a good street festival.
Can I try one more time?
Yeah. Can Pete try one more time? I think Pete could try one more time. Yeah.
All right. I really need to nail this. The hard part is that you only get two shots.
Right.
So if you miss the first one, it's like, what do? You would just want to throw the ball into the audience. Get so angry.
All right.
I'm gonna hold my composure.
Bend the knees. Here we go, Pete Zimmerman with the first shot. This is so important. If he misses,
is there a trick to doing this? Like, should I straight in or should I rebound? Like, get it off the backboard.
I usually just shoot it straight in.
He says straight in. Okay. Oh, backboard? You think backboard?
Absolutely backboard.
Are you a proven winner?
I've done this before. It's backboard.
All right. I'm going to go backboard.
All right. Backboard. Pete's going to go backboard. We're feeling some optimism. Here we go. Bend the knees. And the shot. Not even close. He's really bad at this. Oh, rimming in and out.
I have the strength of a 12-year-old girl.
You're very like a big man. You're like a 7'2" center who just can't hit his free throws. Hey!
All right, I got the form. I'm down $75 right now. But I'm coming home with a prize.
All right, if he gets this one, do you get something if you get this one?
Here
it is.
My wife's birthday is coming up. It's a perfect.
Here it is, Pete. You ready? No. You know what?
You can tell right from when it left my hand. Hold on. I'm going to do one-handed like, I don't know, somebody. All right, I'm terrible.
It's so disappointing.
One more time?
It's just... All right.
All right. I made two. I got two. Only two, 40, out, of, two out of 40.
Two out of 40 is not bad for Pete Zimmerman. All right, we're going to try all night.
Yeah.
We're going to try all night to try and get Pete. He's got to get one of those Rasta bananas. It's his wife's birthday coming up. Come on. How great would it be? How great would it be if Pete Zimmerman could get his wife a off-brand stuffed animal for her birthday? I don't know if there's anything more romantic. All right, we will continue here live from the Taste of Des Plaines. Live in Des Plaines, it's a download on 720 WGN. Stay with us. Welcome back to the download here on 720 WGN, live at the Taste of Des Plaines here in Des Plaines, Illinois. How was everybody tonight? What a beautiful night. And the festival here, the street festival, is getting more and more jam-packed. The music you can hear in the distance, and even the Metra trains have been respectful. They've limited the honking. When we first got here, the honking was, oh my gosh, it was deafening. But they recognized that WGN was on the air, so now it's little honks. All right, coming up this hour, we're going to talk about the 125th anniversary of the Des Plaines Fire Department. How about that? Are you guys all aware of that here? There we go. See, there's some claps for that. That's coming up. We'll have that conversation and also some live music from the D62s, the 62nd District teachers and administrators playing music. I watched a little bit of the performance. 14 people up on stage. That's a big deal. I've dabbled in music. If it gets past two people, I'm out. That's too much. Now I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do with this bass. All right, my guest tonight, I'm very excited to welcome her back to the download. When we first decided that we were going to come out to the Taste of Des Plaines, Pete was like, all right, you know what? Let's see who we can get to come out and be a part of this broadcast. Who are some of the famous people, celebrities from Des Plaines? So the dad who was on Brady Bunch, right? Who else was? Was there anybody else, Pete?
John Wayne Gacy.
It's okay, yeah. But that one did not make the cut.
Former MLB Dodger ball player, Sean Green.
Sean Green. You guys remember Sean Green? He was on the Dodgers. Yeah. And Colonel Jill Morgenthaler. Yeah, and she is here with us tonight. I couldn't believe that. I was like, we both jumped out of our seat and we're like, Colonel lives there? We've had her on the program. We talked about your book, which is The Courage to Take Command, Leadership Lessons from a Military Trailblazer. Colonel Jill Morgenthaler, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Justin.
You spent, I mean, you were in the Army, you're retired now. A great book. We've had conversations on the show. What is it about Des Plaines? You've lived here for over 20 years.
What I really loved about Des Plaines was the diversity. Growing up as a Marine Corps brat, I lived on military bases. Everybody was white, and there just was no diversity, and I wanted my children to grow up in a real community with lots of different people, and I wanted them to grow up in one place, because I went to 13 different schools.
I was going to say, as a military child, that's a difficult life.
Yeah, and it paid off. When I went to Bosnia, my kids were 4 and 6, the community just jumped in and helped my husband, watched over my kids, and I could do my mission knowing that Des Plaines was taking care of my family.
That's, you know, a lot of soldiers and military officers, they have to do that. You jump from place to place, especially when you're deployed. Talk about the impact that has on your family, because, you know, that you're on, in a sort of a moment's notice, even though it's longer than that, you're displaced.
Well, and the first time I was sent overseas, 1996, my children had never experienced it. So I remember at O'Hare, back when you could go down the concourse with your family, I remember them skipping away, and I thought, oh, they have no idea. I'm not coming home for a year. And when I did get home, I was relieved. They remembered who I was. My son did say, I forgot you were funny. And my daughter had anxiety issues. I had to tell her every time I left the room where I was going, because she didn't want me to disappear again.
Right. Do you think it's more difficult as a woman in that situation, as a mother, than some of the soldiers who may be males?
I don't know. It was painful for me. I mean, it just tore at the root of who I am as a mother. I have a feeling, though, I mean, I worked with a lot of men, and it broke their hearts, too. The good news is now that we have Skype, children and parents can see each other during that whole tour.
All right.
And I think that'll make a big difference.
So for you, I mean, Des Plaines is a community that you've been a part of. What, besides the diversity, what is it about Des Plaines that sets it apart from other communities you've lived in?
Well, first of all, I love the library. When I would try and write my book at home, my cat and my dog would get in the way. My adult kids would come home, expect me to feed them. And I would come to the library. And I remember telling them, I think I have a book in me. And they're like, sure. And luckily I did. But they were fabulous. They gave me that quiet space. The other thing I do like, it's the restaurants. It's the food and it's the train in Chicago in 30 minutes.
Can't get
better than that.
So for you, I mean, obviously the book takes you all over the world.
Yes.
But you do call Des Plaines home. As you think about the idea of home, because you've had so many different places growing up, and we talked about this before, just about, you know, you're in the military, you don't get to sort of put roots down. And the idea of Des Plaines being a place that you could put roots down, what does that mean to you?
Well, it's like looking in the audience today, and there's some friends of mine from church, there's some neighbors, there's my husband, there's some school teachers. I ran into my postman, who's like, Morgenthaler, 1738, Hawthorne Terrace. Yes. You know, so you're not alone, and I think that's what community really is about. You're not alone.
We're talking with Colonel Jill Morgenthaler. She's the author of The Courage to Take Command, Leadership Lessons from a Military Trailblazer. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about what you've been doing since the last time we talked, which has taken you all over the world, talking about leadership. And we'll talk about, I mean, your other life as well, as you served in the as an advisor in the Homeland Security here in the state of Illinois. So we'll talk about that as well as we're having Homeland Security conversations and issues again in our country, so we'll talk about that. Live at the Taste of Des Plaines, it's a download here on 720 WGN. Stay with us. Welcome back to the download here at the Taste of Des Plaines. How's everybody doing? It's 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight. My guest here up on the great stage. This is a great stage here. Thanks to Adam Phillips. Thanks to the WGN crew for putting this together. It kind of rivals the big stage over there with all the music, right? Are you guys expecting me to play my trombone?
Yeah!
My guest tonight is Colonel Jill Morgenthaler. She lives here in Des Plaines. She's the author of The Courage to Take Command, Leadership Lessons from a Military Trailblazer. We've had her on the program before. We had her, we came down and talked about the book. You know, since we last talked, you've been all around the world.
Yeah, I just got back from Dubai and Bahrain, speaking on leadership over there, and I was nervous. They love the message because I'm all about inclusivity and, mm-hmm. and hire people who are different than who you are, and they just loved it. Bahrain wants me to come back.
Is that the tone in which when you're going on and you're speaking in front of people going around the world? Is that what you're talking about?
One of the things is, yeah, you need to know who you are, but you need to hire to your weaknesses. So first of all, you have to admit you have weaknesses, and then you hire people who are different than. Yes, you laugh, but there's a lot of people who will not admit that.
That's what this whole download is. It's me just admitting my weaknesses. Your speech wouldn't work with me. I'd be like, I already admitted that. I don't know. I'm all good. But I mean, for how is it received? I mean, who are you speaking with when you go to Dubai?
I'm speaking to young professionals, entrepreneurs. They're all hungry to have their own businesses. They're very active in social media, way more than I ever imagined. And they really want to learn from what we're doing here in the United States. So you hear all that fear-mongering. That's not what I saw. What I saw is people just welcoming us and please share our wisdom with them.
Really? So, I mean, and when you go to Dubai or, I mean, is it a different kind of, do you put together a different kind of speech for them than you would, say, in New York City or here in Chicago?
I just simplify the language some. I don't assume, like, when I talk about 1975, I won't refer, that's the movie, the year Jaws came out. Instead, I'll say, that's the year the tunnel in Dubai was open. So I'll try and make it more local while keeping the same message and my same stories.
You know, leadership's going to play a big role, and it already has sort of in the campaign for 2016 here. We've heard both candidates kind of jawing at each other about not being successful or not being good leaders. Leadership is coming up. And that's really what's at the focus of your book, and you talked about your experience. Talk about, you know, when you see that playing out in the presidential campaign, what do they mean by leadership?
Well, I think one of the challenges of whoever is elected, they will be tested. They will be tested both from outside threats. They'll also be tested from, unfortunately, inside threats. And so part of leadership is, at first, just being strong and responding with strength. Because you can always back off later and be gentle. But when they come at you, you have to come back
with strength. So strength plays a big role.
Yes, it does.
Because you hear that. I mean, I've from the tweets from Donald Trump and from Hillary Clinton, they've talked about strength. I mean, Donald Trump seems to, on a daily basis, call out weak leadership, when he's talking about the people he doesn't agree with. He really does believe in strength. And so you're saying strength is a big part of leadership.
It's a big part, but the thing that he misses is inclusive. Leadership is inclusive. And that means working across both the aisle in Congress.
Right.
It also means working with our allies, not offending our allies, but letting them have a voice, too, because a lot of our allies is in the Middle East, they have the experience. We're still outsiders. We should help support them in making the decisions instead of it always being our idea. In a way, it's the humble leadership of saying, look, you guys know this part of the world better than I do. What are your ideas?
Colonel Morgenthaler, we talked about this the last time you were in. We talked about you being a trailblazer, being a pioneer as a woman in the military and holding office. We talked about some of the stories that you had to put up with and just the path that you have paved for yourself. When we talk about, you know, what could be a historic moment where we have a woman who's running for the Democratic as the candidate for the Democrats, you know, to be commander in chief, she's obviously had the same issues with Secretary of State, but she'll run into the same sort of idea that the military is, as we've talked about it, a boys club. When she gets to the point where she's going to be the leader of, the armed services, what does she need to know?
What I did, because when I was 22 years old, I was commanding in Korea. Everyone was older than me, and a lot of the men did not want to work for me. So there's two things I did. First of all, I set the vision. And my vision, of course, in Korea was let's save lives and bring freedoms. The president of the United States is going to be let's save lives, bring freedom, and maintain ourselves being the strongest nation in the world. So you set the vision, and then you turn to the others and say, look, I know that you bring other talents. Let's share it. Let's get it on the table. You know, I believe in the military working for a civilian boss. That is the right thing.
Right.
But the civilian boss must be willing to listen to the military and learn. And, yeah, will you have people challenging you? Absolutely. But I think whoever wins will have people challenging them.
Okay, let's talk about Homeland Security. You were a part of the state's Homeland Security office. And you know, it's interesting because now the United States of America and other places are finding new challenges with Homeland Security, as we saw with the sort of what happened in Orlando. We see lone wolf, this concept of maybe domestic terrorism, whatever we want to call it, but the idea that things are changing. From your vantage point of being in that office, how has it evolved since you've been in office? And you were in office probably in the late 2000, like 2000.
Yeah, I ran Homeland Security 2005
yeah,
to 2008.
Right. So from that point to now, I mean, how is the government equipped to handle when things change, when new threats emerge?
In the state of Illinois, we're doing a lot of things right. We have a lot of equipment pre-positioned throughout the state. We work very closely with the FBI, with other FEMA, Homeland Security, in sharing information. That has improved 1,000% from when I was doing it. But we're still challenged. You know, when you look at the lone wolf, that individual who has maybe a mental illness, you can't identify that individual until, unfortunately, something terrible happens.
Right.
What we need to do is, I think, have a better integration with families, communities, universities in recognizing mental illness and helping individuals seek help before it ever goes to this extreme.
Right. So for you, I mean, obviously what's happening in the state of Illinois, we're having a budget stalemate. How does that affect, from your days, I mean, how does it affect Homeland Security? Is that affected? Are we at risk when we don't have a budget of the Homeland Security Office?
Yes, we're at risk. We're at risk both in the state, but also what's going on with the federal government. There's been constant budget cuts within FEMA, Department of Homeland Security. The stalemate in Springfield has really limited us. I mean, we're fortunate we had a mild winter this year. If we had had ice storms and blizzards like we've had in the past, the state could have been crippled. And that's where it's like, come on, folks, let's start taking care of the people and working together on these solutions.
Colonel Jill Morgenthaler is the author of The Courage to Take Command, Leadership Lessons from a Military Trailblazer. She's a resident here in Des Plaines, and it's so great to have you back on the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for coming down to the Taste of Des Plaines.
Thank you, Justin.
So great. Good to see you, and I can't wait to talk again. Thank you. More to come here on The Download, here live at the Taste of Des Plaines. Stay with us. It's a download live here at the Taste of Des Plaines. All right. It's good. Oh, I love it, too. It's the sun's gone down. We got to get that band back up, right? Okay, so we'll do the live entertainment come up at the 9 o'clock hour. The D-62s are going to be back over here.
Woo!
They were on stage a little bit earlier. They're teachers and administrators from the area. They had 14 people up on that stage. Jamming out to Uptown Funk. It was a rendition. I'll give them that. It was a good rendition. All right, so we were here until 11 o'clock tonight. It's a great street fest. You can see people all the way down here, right at the metro station at the Des Plaines station here. Easy to get to. Come on out. Great food. Great places. Right after, in just a little bit, Pete's going to go back to the basketball hoop and win himself a Rasta banana. All right, I love this story. This is the one that I wanted to do the most because it celebrates an anniversary I mean, to think about this, this is the 125th year for the Des Plaines Fire Department. How about that? 125 years. It started off as a volunteer fire department. It turned into a full-time. There's so much history to this fire department. Some huge, I mean, we were just talking before we turned the mics on about some of the big fires, plane crashes, things like that, that have been a part of Des Plaines history. Joining me up here on the stage is Chief Alan Wax and Battalion Chief Ken Palenik. Good to see you guys. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Ken has to go if there's a fire. Just FYI, if he gets a call, he's out. The chief's going to stay. All right, so let's talk about 125 years. You know, both of you guys have only been in the department for a couple of years, but how important is it to understand the history of Des Plaines?
Oh, I think it's very important. The history of Des Plaines is parallel with the history of the fire department. Fire department in general has a very strong culture and a very strong tradition. And while we embrace the tradition, we're really excited about what the next 125 years are going to bring.
That's good. All right, so, I mean, what do you guys know about the history? Because I was looking at the website today, and there are all great photos from the early 20th century and all this different stuff. I mean, how much do you guys know? Because you're not actually, you came from a different department to come here. How much you know about the culture and the history of this department?
Sure. Well, Ken being here for almost 30 years is... Or 40 years, almost.
Oh, no, only 30.
I'm sorry. Ken obviously knows a little bit more than I have. I'm 7 years on the job. But the one thing that I learned very quickly is that this is a very history-rich fire department. And I didn't know a whole lot about it, and I think Ken thought he probably knew. And then this year, as we're researching for the anniversary, Ken worked very closely with our terrific history center and learned a lot. We also had an intern from the high school that was working and doing the research. And we've got an excellent exhibit there. We ask people to please stop by and take a look. And so it's been terrific.
You know, Ken, what do you think? I mean, what did you learn about the history you didn't know already when you got into this project?
Well, like the chief said, the fire department's very tradition and history and culture-based. And it's just different people, different equipment, different clothing and all that. We did things the same way. One fought fires. The things that changed the most is obviously EMS, you know, pre-hospital care.
Yeah, right.
Which is only 30, 35, 40 years young. But for the most part, it was a very good, very well-respected department from what we learned. And it was on a busy side also back then.
You know, you think about it, but fire departments, and not just in Des Plaines, but other towns around and cities around this area, they really do represent the center or the heartbeat of a community, police and fire. For you guys, I mean, what is it about that? Because it's much more than going and checking smoke detectors and showing up in time of need. What are some of the things that make fire departments the centers of your communities?
Well, I think a lot of it is the fact that when people call us, unfortunately, they're not having a good day, and we make it better. People are always happy to see us. We are proud of the fact that we do such a good job. We're proud of the fact that we're a part of this community and we're a fabric of this community, and we love being a part of the community.
Ken, what drew you to be a fire man?
Boredom, first of all. I was out of high school and had no direction, and I met some of my schoolmates who had joined the volunteer fire department. I lived in a city. I lived near a firehouse. It was just something I wanted to do.
What's the difference? I mean, obviously, salary and that kind of stuff, but there a lot of the towns in the area, they still run off of volunteer fire departments. I mean, there's something about the idea of standing up for your community and being a part of that. But talk about the history of volunteering for fire.
I started out as a POC, which is a step above a volunteer. And it's a family. It's a family oriented. You're part of a family, a huge, everybody gets together. I relate it to the movie Goodfellas. You go to their weddings, their funerals, their births, and, you know, I'm godparents, I don't know how many firemen's kids. But that's how the volunteers started. We hung out together. That's all we did every day. You know, we went to our normal jobs, but it's just, it hasn't changed much.
Chief? You know.
Two-thirds of this country's firefighters are volunteer firefighters. Certainly they play a very important role. It's getting harder and harder as the standards increase to be able to maintain those. Certainly in Des Plaines, when it first started, it was volunteer. The first Desplaines full-time firefighter was Captain Ben Stanger in 1930, and we haven't turned back since then. And actually, it would be extremely difficult for us to have volunteers in Desplaines right now. We're running about 25 calls a day, and obviously to have people keep getting away from their primary job to respond to those calls would be very tough. With our call
is there a formula when it comes to volunteer fire departments? Is it sort of by population, or are they like, you can't have a fire department that's volunteer at a certain level?
Well, a lot of it is call volumes and structure. There's a lot of county fire departments on the East Coast that are strictly volunteers, even though they have thousands and thousands of calls a year. It's just there's a lot of factors that come into it.
Let's talk about some of the big fires. I mean, there's some stuff that I was reading about the Des Plaines Theater here. Is anyone here from Des Plaines who remembers the Des Plaines Theater fire? 1982-ish?
Right. 1982, the Des Plaines Theater had a big fire. You could Google it on the website, on the internet, and you could see some video. And that was a significant fire that is going down in the history and the memories of everybody that's lived in Des Plaines for any period of time. But we've also seen a lot of other incidents. Unfortunately, we have had one line of duty death on the Des Plaines Fire Department.
Yeah. Right.
That was firefighter Robert Coombs in April of 1962. He and other firefighters rescued several people that were working in the sewer at Randon River Road, and they had gotten all three of the victims out, and as they were finishing up, firefighter Coombs ran out of oxygen. He was overcome by the sewer gas, and then in addition, he fell about 20 feet back into the sewer, and unfortunately, he did not survive. So that obviously was a dark, memorable event in the department.
So the ones I remember, there was the airplane crash.
American Airlines Flight 191, which was in 1979, the Des Plaines Fire Department was actually the first fire units on the scene. As you can imagine, it was a horrific scene, and unfortunately there was nobody to save, but they did start the process of going through and handling the scene. The Des Plaines Fire Department was also involved in assisting Rosemont when the Allstate Arena was formerly the Rosemont Horizon.
Yeah, right.
There was a structural collapse that killed 5 people and injured 16 people, and the Des Plaines Fire Department was involved with that as well.
Let me ask you, Chief, you know, as a town that neighbors such a huge airport, do you have to train yourself? Does the department have to train itself any differently for the worst?
Well, I wouldn't say it's different, because even though there's an airport and certainly there's a big risk there, we have a lot of risks ourselves. We have many factories in town. We have public areas. We have the railroads. We have the highways. So pretty much today, all fire departments are training for all hazards.
Yeah. The other one that was interesting was the grandstand fire. Is that a call?
No. Maybe.
Darn it.
We'll see.
I thought this was it.
It's for somebody, whether or not Ken needs to go.
Yeah. We could pack up and we could follow. We could do a whole thing, like it's a show. But we can talk about the racetrack fire.
Sure.
In the mid-'80s, the Arlington Park, right?
Arlington Park had that huge fire that destroyed the grandstand. The grandstand that's there now is actually the rebuilt grandstand. The Des Plaines Fire Department was at that fire, and actually our crew was the last crew out of the building and went into the infield and sat at the infield and watched the building collapse shortly after they exited the building.
How often do you get out of the city limits? You know, because a lot of these are talking about your neighboring towns. You have to be called in by them? How does it work to help and assist other municipalities?
We have two different processes. One process is automatic aid, and that means on the initial alarm, the closest units respond regardless of borders. So, for example, in this location, if we were to happen to have a fire, we would also have the North Main Fire Department responding, because they're closer than some of our further away fire stations. The next concept is mutual aid, and that means when we get there, if it's something big, then we can call for help. And we run automatic aid and mutual aid every single day, probably about 600 times a year that we give automatic aid and mutual aid, and about the same coming in.
Let's talk about the current and also talk about, you know, the future of the fire department. For you guys, how's it changed? You both have been in fire and fire protection, fire safety your entire careers. How has it changed? I mean, how have we evolved as protecting ourselves against fire?
Technology, it increased technology. Back in 77 when I first started, rubber gloves, a leather helmet, a jacket, and boots, and that was it.
Wow.
No, now we're fully encapsulated head to toe with fire-resistant clothing, special clothing that doesn't trap moisture. It gets us into trouble more, but, you know, we can spend a little more time at a fire.
How does it get you in trouble?
We go further in. We go. We do things longer than we should. We have air packs on our back that we can get up to 30 minutes of air, depending on what size bottles we have. But it's just basically the technology has changed immensely. You know, with rubber gloves, I used to get burned all the time. My hands just from the steam burns. Even when I got in this job what year did I get on this job? 86.
That's when the mayor was born.
Yeah. But I would say the biggest change has been technology. And fires nowadays are being fought different. Fires burn different now, so we have to learn how to fight fires.
Why do they burn different? I mean, it's just because of the things that are being used to build and that kind of
thing? Right. Everything's made out of plastics and polyesters. Back in the old days, cottons, you know.
Buildings are very thin, glued lumber instead of the heavy 2x10s or 2x8s or...
So the way we fight fires has changed dramatically in the past probably 10 years.
It's interesting. Ken was talking about the technology. A lot of people probably don't realize this, but if you ever see pictures of firefighters from back like in the early 1900s, the late 1890s, something like that, you'll notice they always have a long beard. Well, right now we wear air packs. We go into fires and that protects us. But back then they didn't have air packs, so the firefighters all had long beards. And what they did was before they went in to put out the fire, they would dip their beards in water, like a bucket of water. Then they put it in their mouth and it would help filter out some of the smoke when they were inside.
Wow, I didn't know that. Did you guys know that? See, there we go. We're learning stuff here.
We're learning.
So for you guys, I mean... You know, this is the 125th anniversary. What are you going to do to celebrate it this year?
We are celebrating all year long, and we're asking our community to please celebrate with us. Ken is the chairman of our committee to celebrate the 125th. We've got some active members. We've got some retired members, and we're having a great time. We're doing a lot. Please come visit us at the Taste of Des Plaines. We've got our booth where we're going to be illustrating some of the history of the department.
They're going to be dipping beards in water?
Well, I don't know about that. We're going to have an antique pumper here tomorrow during the afternoon, and we've got things going on all year long. We've been named the Grand Marshal of the July 4th parade. We're going to have some of our antiques out for that. We've got the History Center exhibit, so please, whenever it's open, it's going on through September, please stop by the exhibit. There's a lot of interactive things. There's old-time equipment. There's pictures. There's videotaped interviews with several of our retirees and some of our active guys. And it's a great, great exhibit for the whole family. That'll be running through September at the History Center.
It's a great website. We checked it out today. I can't thank you enough, Chief Alan Wax and Battalion Chief Ken Polenik. I appreciate you both for coming in. 125 years of Des Plaines Fire Department. Here's 125 more. Thanks so much for coming in.
And
we're live at the Taste of Des Plaines. Stay with us. All right, live here at the Taste of Des Plaines, 720 WG in the download. I'm Justin Kaufman. All right, how's everybody doing out there? Woo! What a tremendous, that was fun. We're learning stuff. Old firefighters used to dip their beards in water and then put them in their mouths before there were air packs. That's pretty good. And you thought you were just coming out for some entertainment. Well, you were wrong. Because there will be no entertainment here, just learning. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we got some live music. The D62s are setting up over here, which is great. They are teachers and administrators from the area. We're going to talk with them. Also, coming up a little bit later, we'll continue talking with some of the vendors here at the Taste of Des Plaines. The sun is gone. The night is starting. The bands are getting ready. And Pete Zimmerman is still over at the... He's still trying to win a basketball.
I was actually intrigued by the guns.
Oh,
but now
let's hear. What do you mean the guns? What's going on?
There's a BB gun section over there that I feel I need to try.
Try it. Maybe, you know, again, if you're just joining us, Pete Zimmerman, our producer, he's out in the Taste of Des Plaines, and he's been by the carnival games trying to win. A present for his wife. It's her birthday coming up next week, and she's really into Rasta bananas and off-brand stuffed animals. And Pete has been unsuccessful so far. He's put about $60 in.
$60 down.
And he's going to try now a different game because the basketball game was rigged.
Yeah, you hold a gun and you shoot at like red solo cups that are purple. So purple solo cups. with a cork of some sort. I'm going to try to sneak my way in.
Right.
It's a very packed game here.
Tell the little girl to move aside.
Move aside, little girl. Real man, hold a gun. Oh, hold on. So here's the gun.
All right, here we go. I see it, yeah.
Chuck Heston pose.
Yep. It's very rugged. John Wayne.
Can I play the game, please?
There you go. No, with authority. It's my turn to play.
Hello.
All right.
Hello.
Okay, you ready, Pete? What do we got?
Yeah, I'm ready. I have to shoot. How do I play?
Down, and then you win whatever's in the cup.
We shoot the cup down. I'm looking at these cups, and none of these cups are the size of the prize I want to win, though.
Inside there'll be like a corresponding number.
Okay.
Don't shoot the stuffed animals.
I get it now. Okay, I'm gonna put the mic down and grab the gun.
All right, here we go. Let's go. Here we go. Pete Zimmerman, bend the knees.
Weapon is hot.
The weapon is hot. The safety is off. Oh, did you hit it?
I just missed to the right. I'm going to try one more time. What's that?
Hi, people.
It's, my fan.
All right, one more shot.
One more shot here. I'm going to try to get a prize.
The D62s are disappointed. Let's go.
Yeah!
Hey, all right. He's got a crowd over there.
Oh, yeah. I nailed
Pete's
it.
Got a crowd. What'd I you get? It. What'd you get?
All right. Let me see. Rasta Ben. I got something blue. Oh, I win a small prize. I'll have to go a small Rasta banana.
That's not going to cut it, bud.
Oh, no. There's only a green long thing. Oh, it's a grass. Oh, what is it? It's a snake. A fiery snake. Or I'll take the fiery snake.
Yeah.
Fiery snake.
Yeah, I'm not sure the wife's going to go with the fiery snake, but...
Yeah, no, it's all right.
It's all right?
Yeah.
All right, well, I think you shouldn't sell yourself short, Pete. I think that next hour we're going to try it again. You need to walk in the door tonight with a huge stuffed animal that is kind of generic.
I told Adam, the engineer, that we have the WGN van just so we can bring home all my stuffed animal prizes. So hopefully that works.
All right, Pete Zimmerman, good job. At least he got a fiery snake from the carnival game. Here at the Taste of the Splains, coming up after the news, we are going to hear some live music from the D62s. We're live at the Taste of the Splains. It's 720 WGN. Stay with us. Welcome back. Oh, there we go. Hey, welcome back to the Taste of the Splains here in downtown Des Plaines. It's the Download Live, 720 WGN. How everybody doing? There we go. Yay! It is turned to night here in Des Plaines. And that's when the live music comes out. You can hear it in the distance. A little bit earlier tonight, I caught the set of the D62s. The D62s are teachers and administrators from the area. They play together. There were 13 or 14 people on stage. It was a tremendous performance. Right here, you can kind of hear where the stage is at in the background. But they were so gracious to stick around, to not leave after the set. And they are here at the WGN stage, and they're going to play live for us right now. Ladies and gentlemen, live at the Taste of Des Plaines, the D62s!
Has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we see. I won't be afraid, oh I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand, stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountains should crumble to the sea, I won't cry,
I won't cry,
I won't cry,
I won't cry.
No, I won't shed a tear, just as long as you stand. Stand by me, darling, darling, stand by me, ooh, stand by me, whoa, stand now, stand by me, stand by me.
Set a little bit earlier. They come over here. Amazing. Thanks so much for performing, you guys. We're going to have some representatives come over to the table, and we'll continue talking with the D62s. Let's take a quick break, shall we, and we'll get you over to the table. It's a download live at the Taste of Des Plaines here on 720 WGN. Stay with us. Yeah, hug, hug. There you go. We were hoping for a train. A train horn at some point during the broadcast, and we got it. So thank you very much, Metra. We're live at the Taste of Des Plaines. Woo! 720 WGN, it's a download. I'm Justin Coffin. Thank you for having us. We're with you till 11 o'clock tonight. It's an amazing festival, street festival here in downtown Des Plaines, the Taste of Des Plaines. We're hoping that Pete Zimmerman's going to be able to win his wife a stuffed animal for her birthday by shooting baskets. The bands you can hear in the background, but we just heard live music from the D62s. They're a collection of musicians who are both teachers and administrators here in District 62, which serves in the Des Plaines area. Up at the table with me, Amy Lewis and Sophie Taft. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And thanks for the performance. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So where'd this come from? Where'd this idea of the D62s come from?
Well, the idea came from our superintendent, Dr. Jane Westerhold. She took me and my principal, Dr. Mike Amade, into her office, and Mike and I, we thought we were in trouble, and she told us that she had this incredible idea of a teacher-led band that would open up the Institute Days in August. And so we were thrilled. Well, first we were relieved that we weren't in trouble, but very excited to begin this band. And so we put out the call to all of the music teachers. The music teachers are phenomenal in the district. We're very well supported in
the district. How many music teachers are there in the district? I mean, is everybody who's a music teacher in this band? Or is it a particular troupe?
It's not everybody who's a music teacher is in the band. Each school has at least one music teacher. It's a good district for the arts. There's definitely music in the lives of all of our students here.
Well, okay, so is it only music teachers? If a math teacher's like, I can play the drums.
Oh, absolutely.
They're
We've
in?
Had right, an array of good. Teachers that...
I was worried about that for a second.
Yeah, math teachers are welcome. Gym teachers are welcome.
So let me ask you, because you guys play Stand By Me. I'm interested in the styles. Do you run the risk of when you bring 13 or 14 music teachers together, one guy's like, yeah, I know every song by Fish. Can we just play Fish? how do you get on the same page when it comes to the music you're going to play?
I think we've all become, and we all are pretty versatile musicians, and whatever we come up with that we want to play, everyone's pretty open to it. So.
Really? So nobody's bringing in, what are people bringing in? I mean, do you bring songs into the group and say, I'd like to try this song out?
We all have input.
You're an alto saxophone player, so you're like, let's bring in some jazz. Sun Ra. Can we do some Sun Ra? That doesn't happen.
We all have the opportunity to put input and suggest different songs. And depending on the difficulty of arranging and the fit of whatever event that we're playing at, then that will determine our set list and the songs that we play.
So I've heard a lot of cover songs. So it's primarily, if not all, cover songs in this band?
We play all covers, although we have been known to change the lyrics of a song to fit a particular situation.
As any good cover band should, right? I mean, let's phrase it. That's what you do. We're talking with Amy Lewis and Sophie Taff, both music teachers in the district, District 62, which is D62, is the band we just heard. I also heard you guys on stage. I mean, it's not four teachers coming together with, bass, guitar, singing, and drums. You have horns, you have four. I mean, I was counting on the stage. I think I counted 13, 14 people that were on stage for this performance. I mean, how do you just, the rehearsals alone, how do you put that all together? I mean, people don't all live in the same block. How do you put a band together with 14 people in it?
That's a wonderful question because it is challenging. You have 14 adults, sometimes 15 adults, that all have schedules, all have life obligations, but the one thing that connects us all is our love for music and our desire and passion for making good music. And so we have found a way to have an hour a week whenever we have upcoming performances. Wednesdays have worked the best for us. But we have just made this a priority for ourselves.
What kind of events are you playing? I mean, obviously here at the Street Festival, that's one, the Taste of the Splains. But what are some other places that ask for the services of the D62s?
Well, we have an upcoming, our next performance is on Thursday, August 12th. And that performance is a celebration of the 20th anniversary of the Iroquois Community School.
Okay.
We're playing at 6:15, is that right? 6:15.
Okay, so a lot of celebrations. Yeah. For you guys, it's important. I mean, you mentioned it about your love of music. You're all music teachers. You found a way to transfer that love. Is it difficult for you to be both on stage and in front of a classroom when it comes to music? I mean, as musicians, do you see yourself as educators first or musicians first?
I see it as one and the same. We get to create music with our students on a daily basis. It's a true privilege to have. And then we also get to create music in front of adult audiences, which is great as well. So all music teachers are also performers.
Right.
It's one and the same.
It's one and the same. So.
I would say that I've learned more about music by teaching music to kids than any of my performing or rehearsing or practicing. And I think it's important, too, that if you're asking kids to get up on a stage, that you're doing it yourself so you remember what it feels like and what they're going through making them do that. So
for you guys, I mean, what's the ideal gig for the D62s? Is it a band that is a pastime, or is it a band that you're like, okay, let's take this, we're doing gigs, we're playing all over the place, let's put some music out, let's go play somewhere that's not in the district? Lollapalooza, right? That's right.
Yeah, if Lollapalooza is interested, they can contact us. Yeah. I think it's been such a community-building experience among us and being able to go out into a community with what we're doing. So I think that's really what we're trying to do, and this kind of gig that we did tonight was pretty ideal, in my opinion.
Yeah, the sky is truly the limit. Teachers are incredibly vital for everything. We get to teach kids every day, and so wherever the D62s can go, you know, the sky's the limit.
You know, music is one of those subjects in school that seems to always be on the fringe, on the chopping block. Chicago, you know, having a son who's in Chicago Public Schools, that as we have a budget crisis and we figure out what's the next step for arts curriculum and music curriculum, for you guys as music teachers to work in a district that not only supports music, but also, you know, to be able to come together and share in this band that performs for the community, it's pretty special.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt. We are very lucky to be in this district. I have learned a lot.
About life or just about music?
About music, about becoming a teacher, everything.
Amy Lewis, Sophie Taft, they're members of the D62s. Both music teachers here in the district, in District 62 here in the Des Plaines area. Thanks so much. Thanks for the performance, and congratulations, and good luck in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, stay with us. It's a download live at the Taste of Des Plaines. All right, back here at the Taste of Des Plaines. Rob, you're missing out, buddy.
Oh, man, come on.
Oh, man. I heard that Steph Curry's story. You got fined, not suspended. They won't suspend him. Right?
No, you know what? I actually do agree with that. You can't suspend him for Game 7.
Yeah, right?
I mean,
you and I were on last night. We, you know, there was no volume on, so we were watching the game, and we're like, did he get... We were worried because it looked like he got thrown out of the game.
Well, he fouled out and got teed up, so it was kind of a double whammy.
Classic. exactly what Michael Jordan used to do, right?
Now, apparently, this is another part of the story that I heard earlier this evening, but the mouthpiece actually glanced off of a kid who belongs to the parents who are minority owners of the Warriors.
Yeah. There's a picture I saw of the kid kind of giving like a dirty look when Steph Curry came over to say, hey, man, sorry about that, you know, which I always love when fans kind of stand up an athlete. Hey, man, don't do that again, man. Hey, give me a break.
Yeah.
Well. And I think it's, you know, it is what it is. But it's going to make for an interesting weekend on Sunday, right? Game 7.
That's going
to
be.
Who do you got? I was saying Golden State the whole time.
You know what? I'm going to stay with Golden State.
Right,
I'm
going to
stay with Golden State. I think they've
all
got
right.
it. They've
know,
got the
it's,
horses.
It's tough, man. They're going, I mean, they're playing on their home court in a season where they broke records for their home court dominance.
Right,
this
because
is what it's all about.
The regular season record really doesn't matter unless they win the championship, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's also really interesting that, you know, their dominance at home was record setting, and the idea that what that afforded them was a Game 7 of the NBA Finals on their home court. It did it. That's exactly how it's supposed to work. So,
and just
if
watch,
they win, that's how basketball works. It's rigged.
Right. I mean, just watching LeBron in back-to-back games score 41 points, the guy is just completely taken over the series over the last two games.
And, you know, am I the only one who will call it out? He just looks like a man among boys.
Oh, yeah.
This is the NBA Finals, and all those players are 6'7" and 6'8". And then you see LeBron James, you're like, what are you, a linebacker? Like he looks double the size of even the big guys on that team.
And the spring in his step, Justin. The one play where he's running right down the middle of the lane.
Right.
His player tosses it up to him. He jams it home, and then you know comes bounding off of the rim like he's 13 again.
He doesn't fall on his head.
No.
If that were me, I don't think I would ever let go of that rim. I'd be so afraid to come down. If I somehow had figured out how to actually jump up and grab that rim and dunk the ball, I would never let go, man, because the minute I'd let go, I would land on my head.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you and Pete scoot back over to that basketball thing and see how it works out?
It, Rob. Exactly.
I think that's the only way to win that thing is to just jump the counter and dunk it.
Although I like Pete, how he's calling out the carny. You know, your rims are a little too small here, guy. You know, I mean, come on.
I think Carney's offensive.
Well, excuse me. Excuse me. Amusement technician, then.
He's a
sorry.
Technician. He's technically taking Pete's money. All right. Welcome back to the download. It's 720 WG and the Taste of Des Plaines. Oh, they're getting rowdy. Oh, late into the Taste of Des Plaines now. The crowd's getting rowdy. They're playing Chumbawamba. The band, I can hear it. I get knocked down. I get up again. All right. Good stuff. I'm Justin Kaufman. We're with you till 11 o'clock here at the Taste of Des Plaines. We got a lot coming up still. We're going to talk at 10 o'clock to some of the vendors, some of the people here in Des Plaines. Pete's going to win that Rasta banana. I got
right.
So much faith, right? He's got to win that thing. If not that, then maybe the knockoff Scooby-Doo or whatever else they got over there. All right, joining me now, City Manager Michael Bartholomew. Michael, good to see you.
Great to be here. Great to be here. I brought my fan club.
Everybody loves the city manager because he's not elected. Right. But see, he's not shaking your hand. He has no reason to shake your hand and kiss your baby. All right, Michael, so as city manager, what is the difference between a city manager and a mayor?
Well, the city manager makes those impossible dreams come true. The elected officials say they want something to do, and they want it done, and I got to figure out how to get it done. So really what I do is I do day-to-day operations, right? The elected officials make the policy. They get elected by the residents. The residents tell the elected officials what they want to see happen. And those elected officials come to me and say, Mike, make it happen.
Okay, so let's talk about this, the Taste of Des Plaines, because this event is actually really unique because the city of Des Plaines has done these kind of events before, but they in a lot of situations, and a lot of people don't know this, not just here, but everywhere, they farm them out. There are production companies that put these things on. But you've decided to take it back. Why make it local?
Well, actually, I didn't decide to take it back.
It's your job to execute it.
This is the impossible dream that I was supposed to make come true. We have done it in a different way in a bunch of years. There was farmed out, and we had a great event. But this year, council said, we want to make it more local. We want only local restaurants, so people can taste the food here and then go to their store and purchase it. They didn't want it to be a complete carnival. Right. They wanted to have, nice activities and bring the community together.
Right.
So we took it in-house this year, and the staff did a great job. And while we're talking about that, I definitely have to shout out to the Public Works folks that pulled this off today, our media people, our special event coordinator, everyone had something to do with it. I mean, awesome. Awesome success.
How much time does it take to put a city festival like this together?
Well, under normal circumstances, it probably takes 8 months, although we were challenged with it to get it done in about 5, and we did all of this in about 5 months.
5 months. And obviously, getting everything set up from the logistics to the tents to everything, but, I mean, there is, like you said, a local feel. Is there some sort of submission process? Like, how does it work to pick the restaurants that are going to be a part of this?
Well, we go around, we talk to the restaurants, we tell them what we're doing, and they here decided, we want to be on board. And so 8 right away signed up, and those were the 8 we went with.
All right, there you go. Got that out of the way quick.
Pretty
right?
easy.
So it's interesting. We were talking before we came on about your career. I mean, you spent 35 years in local government. You were in Michigan for a number of years, and you just came to here in the last decade. But you've been a city manager. You've worked in local government. What is it about that career that drew you to it?
Well, I think I heard the mayor talk about having to be a little crazy, and I think that applies to city management as well. All right, I've been here been in city government about 35 years, and what makes this interesting is actually these people right here. I see some of my business owners. They're in front row. I know they've been here all day. Local government is where residents, if they have a problem, they can get in their car, drive down to City Hall, and knock on my door. Now, you can't do that in Washington.
That sounds lovely.
Well, and these ladies were knocking on my door a couple of days ago. We solved some problems, and that's how we get it done in local government. I don't think that happens in Springfield.
Justin better be out here. We want Justin Kaufman. We want him to wear his green polo. He listened.
It's kind of like that.
For you, obviously, being in local government is a career. But the mayor talked about it, sort of, community service and giving back. Does that play the same kind of role with city management? I mean, do you consider yourself an official?
I don't know if I would say that I'm an official. I like the building a community, right? I mean, I get this job to come here and build these buildings. The buildings that you see here, you know, I'm part of creating that. So I think creating the community is one of the things that really interests me about it.
So, you know, we talked to the mayor. I'll ask you the same questions. I mean, Des Plaines is making itself over. It's a longstanding suburb of Chicago where it has been, you know, people know it very well, and it's got an identity. But as you move into the 21st century and you change up and you change downtown and things have you know, been made over, you're not only, you know, sort of attracting the residents that live here, but you're competing against other towns that are doing the exact same thing. Just to the north, you talk about Arlington Heights, a lot of hubbub about redoing their downtown to attract people from not only Arlington Heights, but from Des Plaines to become an entertainment district for the northwest suburbs. How do you compete as a local entity? How do you set yourself apart from other towns?
Well, I think in this area, the northwest suburbs, I think there's room for everybody. So I don't know that it's all that difficult. What we're looking about is diversifying it. Yeah, we want to fix up our downtown. We want to attract people downtown. But we also want to spur our economic development because we need manufacturing. We need businesses that are in retail. It can't be any one thing. So I think what we're doing differently is we're spreading it out. And what makes Des Plaines really different is our location. While it seems the same, I think our location is better than everyone that's even next to us. We have tollways. We have trains. We have planes. We have automobiles. Mm-hmm. And I think you can get anywhere in the world from Des Plaines in a matter of minutes.
Let me ask you, the city manager. I won't ask the mayor this. These are tough problems. You know, obviously, jobs are a big issue out here. But one of the issues that I've known from covering Chicago for 20-plus years is that the town does have an issue with the river. It continues to, you know, the people who live along it, when it rains here, the Des Plaines River floods, and you are consistently and continually trying to address those concerns. What do you do as a city manager to limit the damage of natural disasters like that, where especially when you have a river that's prone to flooding all the time?
Well, we invest in it. We invest in our infrastructure, and we're doing that right now. We have a floodplain master plan, which doesn't mean anything really cool, except for know that we're trying to mitigate flooding before it happens, not realize what we're going to do after it happens. We're trying to keep it from happening. So there's a number of projects, storm sewer projects that we do. I know it's widely publicized, the casino revenue that we get.
Yeah.
We get about $8.9 million every year from the casino. And that's earmarked for capital projects just like flood mitigation.
So let me ask about the casinos. That's another issue. I mean, the casinos have obviously been a boon for this community, the Rivers Casino. But a lot of communities, in Chicago included, there's political forces that don't want casinos. They don't necessarily like the idea that casinos are going to be a place where people will fall on despair when they're losing their money. For you as a city of Des Plaines, I mean, as a city manager, how do you deal with people who may not be happy that a casino is in your district?
You know, we haven't experienced that too much here. We love our casinos. Mac Rivers Casino is one of our sponsors. They have a beer garden out there that they're sponsoring, and they're actively involved in the community here with us. And whenever we ask them for something, they're there. And as you said, we get $8.9 million every year from that source. And you heard the mayor talk about the new source of water that's going to save $10,000 a day. That would not be possible without Rivers Casino.
There you go. All right, so let's talk about, I mean, obviously your job as city manager is not political.
Correct.
But it is, I mean, it is connected in the sense that you're executing the things that politicians were elected to do. Do you run the risk at all of getting caught up in politics or getting caught up in sort of the give and take of politics? And can you get rid of
here
the
comes
train?
That train? I can't do anything about the trains.
Come on, city manager can't do anything about the trains. What kind of city manager can't do anything about the trains? Well, this is an issue, though. I would imagine that the people around here don't like that sound.
You know, I talk about the trains all the time. People say we got too many trains, too many crosses. The trains are a blessing and a curse, right? You heard the noise. You heard all the you have to cross all the train tracks. But that's what makes us successful. So you take the good with the bad.
There you go. From the city manager's mouth, take the good with the bad. The trains are here to stay.
They're not going anywhere.
All right. So back to the political question. How do you avoid politics in your job?
You know, it's difficult sometimes. But my political circle is pretty small. You know, there's 9 elected officials, and, you know, they have 9 different opinions, and we have to all get on the same page and start going down the same path. And so we have conversations offline. We have conversations in the council chambers, and we develop a strategic plan. So we write down on paper what we all agree on and what we want to do, and we follow that plan, and we just keep moving forward.
A lot of talk about local government being... All right, we get it, we get it, we get it. We get it. No, I know you want our attention.
That's right.
It's there. Oh, yeah, hi. Okay. All right, all right. I love it. How great is it? How great is it we're on WGN Radio, and it's such a Chicago show to be interrupted by the Metro train horn going through downtown Des Plaines, right? That's stuff you don't get down on Michigan Avenue.
That's right.
I like that.
In 28 minutes, they'll be downtown Chicago.
There you go, there you go. Okay, so the local government, you know, we talked about what makes great local government. Local government's also become a political issue as the governor and others have talked about government efficiency. They've talked about the idea of consolidating, that Illinois has too many districts. It has too much politics. It has too much government, and that's what's holding us back. For you as a city manager here in Des Plaines, what do you say to that?
Well, I think that there is some merit to having intergovernmental agreements and cooperations with our neighbors. And we certainly do that here. And we've been doing that for a number of years. Before someone said we should do that, we've been doing it. Again, the water contract was one of those that we had an intergovernmental agreement with. We're working with the village of Rosemont right now. So we've been doing that. I think that's a good idea. But we only try to deal with what we can control here. There's a lot going on in Springfield that as a manager I don't have any control over.
Yeah.
So I manage what we can manage.
Spoken like a good city manager, right? Manage what you can manage. Michael Bartholomew is the city manager here in the city of Des Plaines. Thank you so much for being
right,
here.
Thank you,
and congrats on a great taste.
Okay.
Appreciate it. All right, more from the Taste of Des Plaines when we return. It's the Download here at 720 WGN. Stay with us. It's a Download here at the Taste of Des Plaines, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. Thanks for coming out, everybody. What an amazing festival. There are so many great people here. A lot of the crowd has migrated towards the cover band. Right now, a little Bon Jovi, Shot Through the Heart, I can hear. Chumbawamba before that. I don't know if you can hear that. Can you hear that, Pete?
You give love a bad name.
Yeah, I can hear it.
Pete is out in the I guess you would call the crowd, the pavilion area of the stage. Pete, why don't we learn a little bit about the people that are here sitting? What do we got?
We've got some super fans here that have been here for the whole show. Oh, okay. Let's the biggest fan right here. This is the person that the way the stage is set up, Justin, I have to come across here to take photos and whatnot to the front of the stage.
Right.
And I hit this woman's foot every single time.
Oh, that's so cute. That's so cute, Pete.
Thanks for coming to the show.
Tripping people.
We've really enjoyed it tonight. We wanted to come out because we're fans of yours, and we thought we live in Des Plaines, so we would just come out for the evening.
Oh, that's thank you. It's been a pleasure to have you here.
Well,
thank you for being here.
It's been a pleasure listening to you.
All right. There
Live.
We go. A lot of pleasure. That's good. That's
yes.
good. That's good.
Thank you for coming.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, look at I like the flashing lights over here.
Yeah.
There's some neon toys. I like this.
I'm more interested in the monkeys t-shirt. How about that?
All right. What's your name?
I'm Bonnie Himmelblau.
All right, Bonnie. Nice to meet you.
Where I got the monkeys t-shirt is that last Saturday night they were at the Horseshoe Casino.
Really?
Yep.
The monkeys were at the Horseshoe Casino.
Yep. In Indiana.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Wow. I thought it would be like you were gonna say the mall.
No.
Got this shirt at the mall.
It was Mickey Dolenz and Peter Tork were there,
wow.
And it was absolutely fan cotton pickin'-tastic.
How is the new stuff? I hear a lot of good stuff about the new material.
Really, really good.
Is there new monkeys material?
Yes.
There is?
Yes.
Come on. Really?
Yeah.
I think you're both in a bit. There's no music.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay.
My husband was with me.
There was. Did they say, all right, everybody, here's the new stuff with the monkeys?
Yeah. They got a new album, and they... Yeah, they did a tribute. They did several tributes to Davy Jones.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. They're getting work, right?
Yeah.
Okay, enough about the monkeys. What about the flashing jewelry you're wearing?
They're from vendors.
All right, good. They're local. Local yep. tchotchkes.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. All right.
Imported from displays.
That's good. Thanks, Bonnie. That's great.
What's this green one? It's a green, and it just says displays. I don't know what that what's that for.
I don't know. It was given to me by somebody walking around. I think they were from, like, Lyft.
That's a bad Lyft person because it looks nothing like... It's green and says displays. It's not doing anything for Lyft. But it is now.
Fun.
But it is now. It attracted the radio to it, so
right.
Now everybody knows Lyft.
It's fun.
There you go. All right. How about one more, Pete?
Well, I would like to talk to the crazy guy. Oh, how about this guy with the beard?
Oh, yeah. There we go. What do we do?
Mr. Bonehawk, as I like to call him. This is what his t-shirt says.
Thank you.
What's your name?
My name is Andrew Von Squirrel.
Okay. That's good. That's
Thank
good.
You.
I like that. Do you live in Des Plaines?
I do.
All right.
I do. It's pretty wonderful. Am I able to plug something?
Sure.
I'm running a museum online of coolers and koozies. You can follow me online at Cooler and Koozie Museum. That's Koozie with a K. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr.
I love it. Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
All right, so are these koozies and coolers that from around the world, or are they specific to a region?
Unfortunately, they're kind of winding up specific to regions that I've visited.
Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Wisconsin, Austin, Chicago... They're a big koozie town.
Okay, so, I mean, are you finding in your collection much more sort of than just beer companies? Because most of that stuff is tchotchkes from beer companies,
oh, yeah,
right?
It's tons of beer companies. I'd say it's probably like half beer companies, half bands
okay.
right now. But it's pretty fun.
That's fun, yeah. Yeah. What got you into that?
I love cold drinks, so...
You know, every time what a crazy coincidence. I love cold drinks.
Hey.
And I've never had in my head, man, I wish I had a museum
right.
for my cold drinks.
Well, it kind of happened because I was looking for a koozie from the Koozie Museum, and then I realized there is not one. So I started one.
Mr. Von Squirrel, yes. I salute you.
Thank you, sir.
That's good. Big All
fan.
Right, what's the website again?
It's on Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr at Cooler and Koozie Museum.
I like that. All right. Thank you. Thank you, man. All right. Des Plaines' very own. I appreciate that. All right. So we'll take a break here. When we come back, we're going to have some of the vendors come on by. We're going to continue the download till 11 o'clock tonight. It is 720 WGN live at the Taste of Des Plaines. Stay with us. Coming up, we're going to talk to some of the vendors here. I'm excited to talk burgers. Burgers.
Oh.
We're in the, Rob, we're in the Purple Rain portion of tonight's Taste of Des Plaines.
Anybody
the
there
jacking it up. Yeah,
anybody there representing the choo-choo?
I haven't seen anything about the choo-choo.
Oh, that's
but,
too bad.
We'll see. We'll see what we can do.
All right.
I think Pete got a picture of it because we parked right by the choo-choo, and he was going to send it to you. I don't know if he did it yet. So I don't want to. I didn't want to ruin your birthday.
Thanks.
Your birthday surprise. Whenever your birthday is, I don't know when is your birthday?
February.
All right. Well, we got time. We got time, so we're okay. We'll give it to you later.
All right.
Welcome back to the Taste of Des Plaines here, 720 WGN. It's a download live here in Des Plaines, right along the train line, downtown Des Plaines. You can hear the music. I feel like we should move, Adam, we should just get up and creep closer to the cover band on stage. They are killing it. They're now doing Journey. You hear that? You hear the harmony in that?
Yeah.
Thank
nice.
You, buddy. Yeah, it's just, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, maybe I'll do radio for now, but maybe I'll be on The Voice tomorrow. You never know. I'm Joseph Goffin. We are here in Des Plaines. Such a great festival, the Taste of Des Plaines all weekend here. We're going to send Pete over to play some baskets and win some prizes for his wife for his birthday because she's dying for a Rasta banana or a knockoff Scooby-Doo or a emoji poop. which is also there. So there's those kind of things. All right, joining me now, one of the vendors, one of the most successful vendors here at the Taste of Des Plaines. He's already sold out. He's done for the night. Fredo Esparza is the owner of American Wild Burger, which is not only here in Des Plaines, but it's also in the city of Chicago at Division and Halstead. Fredo, thanks for being here.
No, we appreciate it.
So you sold out?
Yes.
Did you expect that? Did you anticipate running out of food?
Not at all. Not on the first day.
So what goes into getting ready as a restaurateur, as a restaurant owner, when you work a street festival like this? What are the things you got to consider as a business owner?
It's all about the planning, checklists, lots of checking over, making sure we have enough to making sure we have enough product on hand. And the bigger one is making sure that our equipment will hold up during the weather, the rain, heat.
Right. So talk about your menu tonight. What did you serve tonight?
Tonight we did calamari ceviche, avocado donuts, bacon fat, potato salad, and sliders.
All of it gone.
All of it gone. Gone.
Congratulations. So tomorrow you got to start early, right? We were just talking about the one thing people don't recognize about vendors who are in street festivals is that it is a full-time job.
Oh, it's all day. Our day will probably start tomorrow at about 6:30, and we'll probably prep all the way up until 10:30 to be here to be able to start by 12.
Okay.
So it'll be a long one.
So let's talk about your life. I mean, obviously, you know, you're selling hamburgers and American Wild Burgers in Chicago and Des Plaines. What brought you here to Des Plaines?
It was a happy accident. We were driving down Oakton, and we saw the for sale sign on one of the buildings. We ended up taking a chance, bought the buildings. Honestly, didn't know what to do with the space. And then we decided, hey, you know what? Let's try to sell organic burgers. It works, it works. If it doesn't, we'll try to change it up and see what happens.
We'll do something else. We'll do pasta.
4 years later, we're still here, so...
And then you've expanded and you've gone into the city. You're at Division and Halstead. How difficult is it to have two places?
I wish there was two of me, but I'm happy that I have a big family. So it's a family-run business. My younger brother runs the Des Plaines location, and then I float back and forth between the busy time at the city one just to help him out on the off time at the Des Plaines one.
You spent a little bit of time in culinary school, but talk about what drew you to opening a restaurant.
It was more so, it's the service industry. It's a good industry. I was prior military, dealing with the prior military stuff. Some PTSD got involved. Couldn't really find anything that gave me the pace, the upbeat tempo, the constant readiness, and the restaurant hours kind of work for me. It's fast paced. It's always kind of on the move.
So it helps you with PTSD, like the idea of the restaurant industry being that pace?
It replaces the stress with a healthier stress than that I was dealing with, if that makes sense.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And what did let me ask about your military service. I mean, where were you?
I was at Fort Polk, Louisiana. We went overseas for a little while from around 2011 with 2nd ACR. My unit was actually deployed for about a year, a little over a year. I was able to come back a little bit early. I came back at about the 8th month mark, but mm-hmm. the rest of the guys, they saw the full little over a year.
And this
overseas.
Was in Iraq.
Correct.
Yeah. So the idea of coming back, when you came back and you were dealing with that stress and you were dealing with the stuff that you know, sort of came about by being part of military service, particularly PTSD. Did you think about? Did someone say, hey, you know what might be good is restaurants? When did that moment happen to you where you're like, you know what, restaurants are helping me?
You know, it went from somebody looked out for me, and I was able to get a job in nightclubs. So I migrated from the nightclubs, I migrated from that into restaurants. The nightclubs were fun. I did it for about 6 years. However, the alcohol portion of it wasn't conducive to my PTSD. So I stepped back little
There's
by
little. There's just too much. There's just too much stuff going on at night.
Yeah. So I just, you know, fell back a little bit. And then me and my brother, who's my partner, just said, hey, you know what? What can we replace it with? And then we decided to go into the restaurant business.
So for you guys, what's the future? I mean, you have two spots. You've got the place at Division and Halstead. You also have the... there you go, buddy. Go Cubs. I'm not Harry Carey. That's like what I used to do when I was 10 years old. Right? You'd go behind Harry and you'd be like, hey, Harry. And you'd get him to stop the broadcast, which I just did. Okay, there you go. Back to Fredo. Okay. It worked, guys. It worked. Go Cubs. But the idea of, okay, so back, what's next for you? What's the next step? I mean,
well, go ahead. Yeah, we're happy to say that this year we will break ground on our expansion process. So we're going to be moving from the small standalone that we have now into a little bit of a bigger space. It'll have about 60 seats.
This is in Chicago?
No, this is in Des Plaines, here in Des Plaines. We're going to remodel it. We're trying to do a two-month build-out. We'll move over. We'll sell beer, wine, and burgers.
Beer, wine, and burgers. All right.
Yeah.
I like that. So in Chicago, I mean, I'm fascinated where you guys are at because you're at Division and Halstead. And Division and Halstead, for those who don't know, that area was Cabrini Green.
Yes.
Because the towers were just to the east of Halstead.
Yes.
And then there was also industrial stuff there. The tow lot, the famous tow lot was right there. All that has changed, and there's a lot more retail, and there's new stuff coming in that location. For you guys to be there, how does it feel to be in that area as it transitions?
It's rough in the process. However, we're glad we get to see the transition. The clubs that I ran were in that area, so I seen the area go through its transformation, so to speak.
Right, that's a big nightclub area. Yeah.
Yeah. So for us to be down there and to be able to kind of say, hey guys, the new people that are coming in, we can take care of you guys, but the people that have been in the neighborhood as well, we also have things on our menu that you can enjoy as well.
Right.
So we're not catering to one kind of clientele. We're kind of open across the board. If you're hungry, we can feed you. And if you want to be health conscious about it, we can take care of you as well.
All right. American Wild Burgers at Division Halstead's here in Des Plaines as well. How about that? American Wild Burgers owner Fredo Esparza joined me tonight. Fredo, thanks so much.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. All right. Stay with us. We'll take a break. We will be back here from the Taste of Des Plaines at 720 WGN. It's Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, live from the Taste of Des Plaines. We're here till 11 o'clock. The festival, I love it, man. The festival is still going. A lot of people kind of stumbling out of here. It's always good. Pete Zimmerman's out there.
Go Cubs.
Go Cubs.
Go Cubs.
But that's always a mark of a good taste, right? Regardless of where you're at, Taste of Des Plaines, Taste of... you know, Wheaton,
yeah.
Taste of Chicago, whatever it is. If you could stumble out, you know, slurring your voice to your favorite sports team.
He may have thought this was a game, though. That's the sad part.
<It's> like, what a game tonight. What a game we just saw here in Des Plaines. Oh. All right, so speaking of games, we've been talking about it all night, right? Trying to get Pete Zimmerman to win, not only at the basketball game, but win the heart of his wife. She's got a birthday coming up, and mm-hmm. Pete is convinced that the best way to honor her birthday is to give her a useless, overstuffed, stuffed animal from the carnival. You know what? Everybody's got something, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, okay, so...
I'm thinking of the perfect spot for it. I already know where we're going to put it.
You spent about $75 already tonight, and you've walked away with one small... what was it?
Fiery snake.
But that's not good enough.
No, it's not.
You've got, what do you got your eye on over there?
I think I
got to be honest, man. There's a unicorn.
Oh,
do you see the unicorn?
Oh yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Look at that. Did you see that guy? There was a guy right there who went underhand on the basketball hoop, and he got it. Make sure he doesn't get the unicorn.
Let's see. I'm watching a lot of the form here, and it seems, one was underhand, then one with the one-handed try. So
the technician looks like he's sick of you.
It's me again. Yeah, I'd like to try again.
Yeah.
What's the name of the company?
Bob's Concessions.
Bob's Concessions.
It's bobsconcessions.net.
Nah. That's a lie.
And you guys are all over the, like, you go, you just do the festival. So where are you next?
Well, next week, I'm pretty sure we're going to be in Mishawaka. That's
Indiana. So, you know who's from Mishawaka?
If you want to catch us there,
you can't hear
ahead.
Us over there. Hey, Pete, you know who's from Mishawaka?
Who's from Mishawaka?
The dude who played Kylo Ren.
From girls?
Yeah, from girls. I forgot his name.
Adam Driver?
Adam Driver.
Really?
Yep, he's from Mishawaka, Indiana. Yep.
Well, Justin, I see the unicorn. I'm not feeling the unicorn.
I'm just trying to help you out.
I think, I don't know.
Yeah, there's a Rottweiler. There's kind of a knockoff Tweety Bird. A knockoff.
No, I think these are, I don't know if they're knockoffs, Justin. I think they're,
Ask Bob.
It says Scrooby Doy. Scrooby Doy. I could win a Scrooby Doy. Pardon me?
No, these are actually licensed.
Oh, no, they are actually.
No, they're not.
My bad. They are
no,
actually.
No, they're not.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to try again.
Okay, here we go. Pete. Oh, we need a pit. Someone needs to take a picture of poor, lonely Pete over there by himself, getting ready to shoot the 46th basketball that he has yet to make.
All right, I'm going to try this.
All right, here we go. Pete, bend your knees.
Here we go. Is that what I need to do? Have you been watching my form?
You are like, you know what you're like? You're like a college version of Shaquille O'Neal.
No.
Like you're in the pros, he hit 50%.
All right,
College, it was 20.
All right.
You know what? Here we go.
I'm going to change things up, actually.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to get in a picture with the thing.
Oh, he's getting a selfie. Somebody wants a selfie with him.
Pardon me?
Kathy O'Malley. Do you know Kathy O'Malley?
Kathy O'Malley, of course.
Kathy O'Malley, yeah.
WGN legend, of course.
There we go. Oh, all right. That's so great. Getting name checked.
Kathy and Judy.
Yeah, of course, Kathy and Judy.
The girlfriends. Yep. Who doesn't love the girlfriends? They'll be on tomorrow. Yeah.
Tell her you're Kathy.
I am going to.
All
Justin,
right, come on.
If you notice, I switched.
You switched to a different hoop. It's not going to make a difference.
Yeah.
But all right, here we go.
Here we go, Pete. Bend those knees. Here we go. All right, here we go. Nah, airball. He airballed it. Come on, Pete. Hey, all right. So if he got one, let's give him another one. He spent $100.
All right, here we go. Here we go.
Come on, man. Another $10 down the drain.
All right, I'm going to come. I don't know. I'm better at shooting the gun, as it turns out.
Yeah, but you won a small stuffed animal by shooting the gun.
But you know what? I didn't really know how to play the game. I just shot at the closest solo cup to me, and they give you a small prize.
Right.
If I shoot one to the right, or like up on top, I believe that'll probably get you a better prize.
This is quickly becoming my favorite segment of all time. Pete Zimmerman attempting to buy or to win a stuffed animal for his wife. He's now dropped $85 in trying. All right, let's take a break for the news because it's about 10:30. And then, let's try the gun.
All right.
Let's try the gun.
I don't like Bob's concessions.
Yeah.
I'm going to try something.
We'll be back with Pete Zimmerman. We're live at the Taste of This Plains here at 720 WGN. Stay with us. All right, live at the Taste of This Plains, WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Rob Martier.
Yes, sir.
I wish you were here just to watch the futility that is Pete Zimmerman. it's almost stunning and majestic in its failure.
Yeah.
And now I'm with Pete because earlier in the show we went over there, and I shot a couple. And you know me.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've talked about how great I'm a playground legend. And I was having the first thing I said is these are not standard, these are not regulation. These hoops.
Right.
And now Pete has spent over close to $100 on the carnival game.
I'm sure his wife's going to be pleased.
Well, maybe it'll work out because it'll be like, this is a $150 Rasta banana.
But is he still going for the Rasta banana or has he settled on the unicorn?
He's got a lot of options. Because nobody's over there and he could pretty much, if he hits it, it's kind of the greatest thing in radio history. If by the end of this show, like in the last throw, in the last shot, the last money in his pocket, he makes the basket and all for the girl.
Well, yeah. He should have just started off the evening by throwing down a C note and then just going over there periodically and shoot baskets.
Or just throw down a C note and say, can I have the unicorn?
Yeah, that's right. Can I have the unicorn?
You could do that, too.
I want the audience that's here, I want them to, like, lift me and carry me out to our car like Rudy when I finally make it.
They are playing Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You in the background, so it's very motivational. I think the cover band is actually doing that for Pete. So we'll see. We'll see what comes up. We got a half hour for Pete to make two baskets. We're live here at the Taste of Des Plaines. It's 720 WGN. It's a download. I'm Justin Kaufman here till 11 o'clock. Patty Vasquez coming up at 11 with Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. All right. What a great night. We just walked over. Adam just walked over to see the band, which is just about a half a block down here. And said it is jamming. There was a lot of swaying people to the Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You, but not in a way that was like emotional. Much more maybe overserved. Possibly. But that's not a reflection on anybody in this town. It's just a reflection on a street festival, right?
Yeah.
If I wasn't doing a radio show, I'd be on my 35th beer. No, that's great. That's stupid talk. What do you see, Pete? Pete is out. Pete Zimmerman has been all over the festival tonight. The Taste of Des Plaines. He's getting further and further from us. He's pushing the boundaries.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear
close
you.
Close to the band.
Okay, so they did I Will Always Love You, and now they're doing, what song is this? This is I know this song. It's like a romantic kind of song that's usually, I believe, sung by a woman, but it's being sung by a man.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I can't make it out.
All right.
Not very good version, I'm going to be honest with you. I think the band is Wedding Band. I'm sure you've seen them at multiple festivals.
Here it is. Town. Making my way downtown. Dun, 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 dun. That's a song that they just played. This is the song. The band is called the Wedding Band?
Wedding Band. B-A-N-N-E-D.
I guess that works if you're on Google.
Hey.
Right?
Hold on, Justin. I see a... There's a woman here who has, like, multiple winnings from the carnival. What did you play to win those?
Well, $20 of carnival games later.
Only $20 she has. One,
which,
two, three.
Which was her... Ask her, what was her favorite?
What was your favorite game? What was the easiest game?
What game did you win?
Probably the balloon pop, because I felt all... The others were kind of scammy.
See?
Fork hit the cup right in the middle, and it didn't go down. That was a scam.
You know what? Luckily, Pete Zimmerman is an investigative reporter by trade. Maybe there's a chance, Pete, you could do an expose.
I think I will say that the Taste of Des Plaines would not have any vendors.
Yeah,
that
you're,
would
right,
scam,
you're right. You're right.
Would
you're
scam
right.
Somebody out. But thank you, and good luck.
Good luck. She already won. Was she good luck with all the stuff she won?
She's got a big tiger and a lot of other stuff things, yeah.
Can I ask you a question, Pete?
Yeah.
Does that make you sad?
Now they're doing a little Build Me Up Buttercup.
Yeah, of course.
Anyone out there? Yeah, these guys are great. Yeah, this is fun.
Okay, I was just told the last song was Vanessa Carlton.
Yeah, that's who it was.
That's who it was. So, Pete, you know, before we'll take a break here in just a second, and you gotta try again, right? Doesn't he have to try again, everybody?
Yeah, I'll try again.
Like we all feel here in the Pavilion area that you're kind of down, and that you really need to pick it back up.
You know,
for your wife.
You know, this this carnival game is all, it's 95% confidence, and I'm losing it right now.
They said try the balloons.
Yeah, but I don't know, I don't like the balloon prizes.
Oh,
wait, no, they have Rasta Banana. No, hold on, I'll try the balloons.
Pete Zimmerman's going to go try the balloons because they do have Rasta Banana. I like that. Okay, so before we take a break, you know, every night on the download, we kind of do our best to try and just kind of go over what we learned tonight, right? What did we learn from the Taste of Displains? And we have a crowd out here in front who can help us. What I learned is that the mayor was born the same year that Crocodile Dundee came out. You didn't know that, did you? I also learned that firefighters in the early 20th century, maybe late 19th century, would have long beards, and they would dip them in water and then put them in their mouths when they would go into smoky houses for air. Well, that's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
I also learned that the monkeys have new music. That's something I did not know. And then, and that the monkeys are still around. I didn't know. Okay. And then the other thing I have written down here that I learned is that the city of Des Plaines is pretty cool. That's all I got at the end, and the people that came out tonight. So I appreciate you guys coming out. All right, so you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a quick break for our last break of the night, and we'll come back, and we are going to win that darn Rasta banana. And you know what? I've got money. Adam's got money. We're going to throw it all in. We're going to help you out, Pete, so you don't go and... Yeah, and we got to see if they'll take credit cards. We're live at the Taste of Displains. It's the download. Here on 720 WGN, stay with us. We're live here at the Taste of Displays, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Who's all left here? This festival, this street fest, the Taste of Displays is over at 11 o'clock. So the band is wrapping up. They're hitting their best stuff, which sounds like it's I know what song that is. That's I Believe in a Thing Called Love. Check down to the rhythm of my heart. Yeah. No, it is. I'm touching you. That's a good one to end with. That's become a party fave. All right, we're wrapping up here. We got about 5 minutes left before they shut the doors on us. So Pete Zimmerman, yes, who has been all over the Taste of Displains, and he has gravitated to the Carnival Games for the noble purpose of securing a gift for his wife's birthday.
Yep.
He has had his eye on a Rasta banana stuffed animal, stuffed banana, but he has had no luck. He's dropped about $100 tonight, and he has yet to make a basket, shoot anything, pop a balloon, or anything else that would require skill. So, Pete, what are we thinking here?
Actually, I wanted to shoot a basket, but the basket, they closed up shop already with a...
No, he opened. He's got the light on.
But nobody's back there. It says, move to Maui. A sign, move.
Said, no more, Pete, please. I don't want to take your money anymore, Pete.
So I think I'm going to go with what the audience has said and try doing the balloon pops.
Ooh.
May I play a balloon popper?
Okay, ask the technician, what's it going to take to get the Rasta banana?
What will it take to get the Rasta banana? Yeah, classic toy Rasta banana. I'm looking at it. It's just perfect. It's got a banana. The monkey's coming out of the banana.
Pop four balloons.
Four. Man.
With how many darts?
Well, it's one for $3 or two for $5.
So you're okay.
So how do I? So I have to.
It's $20, man.
Okay.
And you got to hit it.
And they have to pop. Can I hit them and?
Tell her you'll give her $25 for the Rasta banana. And we'll call it a day.
$25.
How much is the Rasta banana worth? Do you think?
$2.99.
I don't know.
See.
All right, give me the darts. Give me the darts.
A glutton for punishment. Right. Sorry I can't pay the rent, but I got this Rasta banana for you. All right, here we go.
I'm not a very good dart thrower.
Oh, man, this is not good. Come on, Pete.
What's the form in this one? Legs bent?
Bend the knees.
Hold it.
Hold it like a pencil. Throw it like a baseball.
That's good. That's actually good.
Yeah, hold it like a pencil. Holding it like a pencil, throw it like a baseball.
Yes!
Oh, did you hear that? All right,
Pete, this is so great. This is like the Price is Right. All right, buddy. All right, come on, Pete.
Down,
we're
one
calling
down.
For you now, buddy. Come on.
All right. Hold it like a pencil. Hold it like a pencil. Throw it like a baseball.
Yeah!
That's two.
That's two. Two more. Pete.
That's
Pete,
two
Pete,
more.
Pete.
All right. All right, here we go.
Come on, Pete. Come on, buddy.
Hold it like a pencil. Throw it like a baseball.
Oh!
I hit it.
No, that's a scam. Come on. He hit the balloon.
I hit the balloon.
This is what they were talking about. You get another one. They get another one. Well, come on.
Okay, hold it like a pencil. Throw it like a... I'm not going to... That balloon, that's a faulty balloon. I'm going to go for this other one here.
Faulty balloons.
Faulty balloons. All right, here we go. Hold it like a pencil. Throw it like a baseball. Here we go. Oh, I just stabbed one of the stuffed animals in the chest. I
don't know if there's any better way to suck the joy out of everyone over here at the pavilion. It was so behind Pete, and then it just...
I actually poked one of the minion, the only minion eye. I poked it out with a dart.
Come on, you can still do this,
right,
buddy.
Hold it like a pencil, throw it like a baseball.
You got it,
here
man.
We go. Oh, same one.
All right, somebody. Where's the city manager?
Yeah, let's get the city manager out here.
Let's get Michael back here.
Better Business Bureau. Oh, look at this.
What'd you get?
I got a mushroom. What is this one?
It's a mushroom.
This is perfect. My wife loves mushrooms.
Oh, that's great.
Is it? It's a Mario brother?
Well, it's not, but it looks like it.
it looks like a Mario brother. All right.
It looks like a Mario, but it's not. Congrats.
Mushroom. Rasta Bananas 2015.
Yeah,
mushroom. Yes.
A mushroom. Congratulations, Pete. Give it up
Thank
for Pete
you,
Zimmerman. He got a mushroom.
Thank you.
I changed my mind.
Wait.
Whoa!
What happened?
Look at this.
Is that what I think it is?
She upgraded me.
What did it do? Tell us what it is.
It is a Rasta banana. What's your concession?
It's Bob's Concessions. My website is www.bobsconcessions.net.
Not net. No, that's good. Congrats. Your local celebrity got you upgraded, Pete.
Yes.
They were like, this is so sad. But you know what? We should give it to him because he kind of reminds us of Pat Tomasulo. And so you got it. Congrats.
Yes.
Congrats. Look at that. Things are looking up for Pete Zimmerman, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
Forget the wife. I'm sleeping on this tonight. Pillow.
All right. We're going to take a break. We're live here at the Taste of Des Plaines. We'll come back, wrap it up. 720 WGN. Stay with us.
Hi, this.
Well, that's going to do it tonight. Look at that. It's 11 o'clock. It's a download live at the Taste of Des Plaines. We're seeing the music is stopping. People are leaving the Taste of Des Plaines. The Taste of Des Plaines will actually be here all weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Tonight's WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, live from the Taste of Des Plaines, was presented by Allstate agent Merrill Smith. Thanks to Merrill. Thanks to some people back in the studio at WGN, Jasmine Cooper, Krista Flores, Aubrey Mumpower, also here, Adam Phillips. Give it up for Adam Phillips, everybody. Not only did he have to set this all up, but he had to do some live music tonight. Greg, thank you, Adam, for your help. Pete Zimmerman, of course, in the Rasta Banana. How great is that, huh?
He finally got the banana.
That's so great. And
nice.
Thanks to everybody here. He did. He got the banana.
Well done, Pete.
He got it, man. It was a big night for him. And thanks to everybody who stayed and hung out here in the pavilion and watched the show. We appreciate it. Here live from the Taste of Des Plaines. We will be back on Monday night. Coming up here, Patty Vasquez. You know, obviously with Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. Pete, are you excited? I mean, you're excited. This was a wonderful, wonderful experience for you. You were able to get what you needed. It took 4 hours and probably a week's worth of pay.
Pete, can you do me a favor and
yes,
tweet
sir.
Out a picture of said banana?
Oh, yeah. I will.
I need to see this thing.
I'm gonna Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat it.
It's going to be, yeah, we need to Facebook Live the Rasta Banana. Up close, it's not even a banana. It's a monkey coming out of a banana casing. I don't even know what's happening.
It's a good thing we're talking about the monkey coming out of its casing at 11 o'clock versus 7.
There you go. Right, right. Family entertainment. But it is a strange... What are you going to say? Are you going to say I won it, or are you going to just say...
No, I'm going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
It's probably the proudest moment in my life.
Yeah, it's proud.
Here you go, sweetie. Proud. This is for you. My unwrapped monkey.
Oh, come on. It is 11 o'clock. That's good 11 o'clock material.